Hey Rod, are you ready to go balls deep in sports?
Good morning, Vietnam, and welcome to another episode of Balls Deep Sports on the Blackout Test Premium Podcast Network. I am your co-host, Rod, and as always, joined by my other co-host of the show. That's my man, Justin. What's up, dog?
Free little Boosie, dog. I mean, wait, he is free. Free Trick Daddy then. Free Trick Daddy. Free
Trick Little Kids.
Free Trick Daddy.
He's in the house. We appreciate, everybody coming in through the chat. We also have a very special guest today, coming off of a birthday. Taking 2-3 days off in a row so you can hang around the house, take naps.
Didn't do absolutely nothing, bitch, and been loving every second of it. I'm in the house.
It's Karen. What's going on?
How y'all doing out there?
Great. I'm glad you could join us. As always, we have to start with, a song.
Hey, hold on, Rod. I just imagine Karen walking around saying, suck it, bitch. Like, all day long. Like, if Karen had a dick, she would be like, suck it, bitch, to everybody.
Yeah, y'all better be glad I don't have one. I would really say suck my dick, because me and Roger talked about this. But it's just one of those things where you go suck my pussy or eat my clit. Somebody might accept it. So it's not as intimidating. So, yeah.
Although, if you said suck my dick, that would end any argument or discussion you have.
I got some if they want to suck on it. They ain't real, though. They like chills.
So yeah, man. This is speaking of dicks, Balls Deep Sports.
Uh-huh. How deep?
You know how when I go in the ball pit at Cheesy Charlie's and I sink all the way down to the bottom and you can't find me?
That deep?
That's right, Dad.
I'm talking about balls deep. I'm talking about balls deep. I'm talking about balls deep in love. I'm talking about balls deep.
I'm talking
about her positive traits. Give a pound into her feelings. Make her south mouth salivate. Hey Tyra, are you listening? We're not talking, just the tipping. Thank you, Scottie Pippen.
Just here dropping off an application. Players in my day didn't make as much as they do today.
Huh. Sorry to hear that.
Where was I?
I want to take them Luke Aaron, you know.
Balls deep. We're talking about balls deep in love. I'm talking about balls deep. Boys talking about balls deep. We're talking about balls deep in love.
In love with your sister.
So we covered a story a while back about how Tony Roden, who plays for the 76ers, his shoe blew out and on national TV and everybody was playing it on Sports Center as one of the lowest 10 plays of the week. It was not too long after Manu Ginobili blew his shoe out, except he was wearing Jordans. Roden was wearing some Air Jordan sneakers. And people said Michael Jordan apologized to him and all this stuff. Well, turns out that was a goddamn lie. And Darren Rovell at ESPN.com got to the bottom of this shit.
You mean you can't trust what the white man? I mean,
I knew it was a lie. I remember it smelled fishy when we covered it on the show. And I thought, I can't imagine Michael Jordan apologizing. Because it said Michael Jordan apologized to Tony Roden. I said, why would he ever call a black person directly?
And apologize. Yep. Why?
It was too over the top. Even just to talk to a black person to say, hey, how you doing? That's too much. He doesn't like niggas, okay? He said it before. He doesn't take pictures with them. I don't see why this is a shock. Well, come to find out, it was all a big-ass lie. In the story, we found out he called to the agent. I said, well, I guess the agent's probably a white man. Well, there's even more shocking developments. Michael Jordan himself never called to say he was sorry.
Did he get somebody else to call on his behalf?
Delaware News Journal quoted Roden as saying he received an apology from Jordan. He called my agent, the paper quoted Roden as saying. The quote was republished by a host of media outlets. Roden's agent, Greg Lawrence, told ESPN.com on Friday that his client was misquoted. Tony told me that the media asked him if he thought Jordan would apologize, and he answered, he can call my agent. Jordan spokesperson S.D. Portnoy also denied that Jordan called Roden's agent. Lawrence also said Roden is not a Jordan endorser, but does get compensated by Nike. Roden's sneakers split apart during the Philadelphia March 14th loss to Indiana. Play was briefly stopped and Roden ran to the locker room to retrieve another pair. Roden 20 is a bright spot on the 76ers roster, averaging 13.5 points a game, which is all it takes to be a bright spot on the 76ers roster.
They stopped the game on his shoe? Because they didn't stop before Ginobili.
Yeah, I think, they stopped the game so he can go. I mean, it's Philly. I mean, you got time. Nobody's there. It's not like you're wasting anybody's time. Everybody's at home.
You know, ironically, by having that amount of people in the stadium is keeping the street safe.
Mm-hmm. Here's what's funny, though. I feel like the reason that we got this article correcting them is not from Roden or his agent.
Jordan.
I feel like Michael Jordan said, I never called him.
Yeah, he called that nigga.
I would never call that nigga. Apologize to his agent, not to apologize to his mama. And if y'all don't issue a retraction ESPN, I'm going to sue everybody.
Yes.
I'm going to tell all my other people not to do interviews with y'all no more until you issue a retraction so the people know that I don't talk to niggas.
Because he's an ass.
Not by proxy or directly to. No niggas. It's very, very simple. A very simple rule, very simple man. Man, I thought this was an April Fool's joke, but apparently it was serious. DeMarcus Cousins is releasing an R&B album under the name Boogie Smooth.
It makes sense. Ooh.
Boogie Smooth.
Oh, man, you know they got a new commissioner, because the old commissioner would be like, that shit better never come out.
Well, I know
everybody
rap
coming out with albums.
Yeah, because the commissioner left, and they was like, hey, free fall.
Yeah, I know rap, most people can't get away with. But I think R&B, you probably could get away with as an NBA player. I think that's a little different.
7 feet, 6'11", 6'10".
How does it sound?
Like, I've never seen, other than Montel Jordan, I think he was another tall, like, R&B singer. Does that work?
Mm-hmm.
And he is not. His name was Sexy.
Boogie Smooth.
Yeah, that ain't sexy.
Be Smooth. He should have went with Be Smooth.
Now that's better.
And also, when you're that big, people probably in your circle just tell you yes. You know, like, hey man, I'm gonna come out with an R&B album. Mm-hmm.
No.
I'm gonna be Boogie Smooth.
And not when you just that big.
When you're 6'11 and emotional like DeMarcus Cousins.
Yes, there it is.
Like, nobody wanna be the guy to go, man, this is kind of a dumb idea. You just gotta be like, all right, DeMarcus, that sounds like it'll work.
Did he get Drake on it with him?
I don't know.
He probably doesn't have any features. It's all him.
Yeah.
But what do you think an R&B song from him sounds like? Like, I imagine it
terrible,
sounding like what's that last song Brian McKnight came out with? Like, Let Me Train Your Pussy.
Let me show you how your pussy work.
Yeah, like it's all that. Like, that's there's a whole album of that.
Yeah.
Does the hit single is Emotional?
It's unclear if there is a single or EP or LP, but the lead single is called Emotional.
Man, suppose he got a gospel song.
Now, Karen, how'd you know that?
No, the up in the corner with the sticker, it says new singing, Emotional.
Featuring Chance the Rapper.
Oh, Lord.
Chance the Rapper, my nigga, though. Yeah. So I ain't got nothing bad to say about that.
Suppose he got a gospel song on this album. Like, you know, a lot of R&B with dudes, Chance they the put Rapper? Like one gospel song on the album.
Hey, he has a bonus track called Big Fellas with Rick Ross. I want this.
I guess he paid. I mean, if you'll pay for a feature, you can get who you want, though, right?
Yeah, if you pay him, people will come now.
Yeah, DeMarcus Cousins, dog. No word on the actual release date, but they'll keep us posted.
I guess they can't say no to him either. Like, maybe he might be connected in ways we don't know about.
Yeah, I think he need to have songs like Technical Foul and Ejected From Your Love and, you know,
I'll Punch You in the Face.
Flagrant.
Nah, not that one.
Fragrant Loving. You know what I mean? Flagrant Loving would be good.
No, thank you.
Double Ejection in the Name of My Heart or something like that. You know, do stuff like that. You know?
I mean, those are all good song titles.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he actually relates to those. Like, what do you mean that's relatable? I don't think he knows that those are issues. Those are things
I feel like because he's so happy with that, like, he doesn't think nothing's wrong with that, so he would be cool with those titles. He'll be proud of those. He'd be like, undercutting my heart. You undercutting my heart. Like, that'll be like one of his songs. Maybe something like you can't coach my loving, something like that. You know, I'll be cool with that, man. I can't wait to see this. You know,
is he really singing or is he lip singing and someone else singing? Someone else has to be.
I hope it's him. I really do hope it's him.
Yeah.
Like for the most,
it'll be greatness if it's him.
It'll be great. Even if it's good, it'll be great. It'll be great, and it'll be even better if it's terrible.
Yes.
If it's good, I don't know that I could ever be intimidated by him anymore.
I know, right? You know you're gonna be catching hell during them games, but like I said, who gonna tell him? Because he put his hands around your throat. Like, while you sitting around talking about some man, you saying like a bitch. You be like, oh, word? I'll show you some bitch.
Or either doing the games, they'd be like, and we got this new cut by, and they start playing his album, like, over the loudspeakers and shit.
You need that. If he really want to make it, he need a song with Pharrell.
See, I would talk shit to him. I'd be like, what you gonna do, sing to me? You 7 foot out here singing?
He will. He'll sing you a lot about while he whoop your ass. That's how that gonna go.
We also have more news. This is the big news of the week. DeSean Jackson is now a Washington original American.
Yes, he is.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, I told everybody, they were like, you think he gonna sign with them? And I said, he's petty enough to do it.
Yep.
And it was like,
yep.
Nah, man.
He was like, I want to be in the conference because I want to see them twice.
Yeah, I said, the people that have a lead on this are the Giants, the Cowboys, and the Redskins. Cause he want to play us twice and he want to beat our ass.
We said it last week.
Yeah, like, it's not breaking news to me. Like, if people just listen to what the fuck we say on the show.
Man, once he said he was visiting Washington, I was like, oh, yeah. He coming here cause you know why? Our owner is a fantasy league owner, and he will pay any amount of money to get whoever comes to visit.
Yeah, Dan Snyder was like, money is no object. What were they going to pay you? Okay, we got that. You know? So, yeah, man, he got signed. I think he got a 3-year deal.
Yep. $16 million guaranteed.
Someone on Twitter said what, you know, and I don't know if this is a premium person or if they listen to the show or not, but literally the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. I was like, you know, the good thing about this trade, I mean, not trade, about Jackson going to Washington, D.C., is that now we can legitimately say a black quarterback is going to have effective weapons around him for the first time in, like, pretty much ever, like, since, like, Chris Carter and Randy Moss was with Culpepper.
Yep.
Like, and Robert Smith. Like, this will be the first time in a while where I can be like, I can name all that dude's skill position players, you know, which... Yep. Has not happened for a black quarterback in so long, you know? Like, the only reason I be knowing black quarterback skill position players is because I be cussing them out on Sundays, like, yeah. Catch the ball, LaFell! Damn, yeah. It's right there!
They be dropping this shit, like, you know? They're terrible.
So, you know, I felt like, you know, this could be cool, especially a young black quarterback. Like, I felt like it was too late with Michael Vick when he got to the Eagles where,
yeah,
you know, he already developed some bad habits. He's used to not having help, so... You know, sometimes he's going to try to bust a run instead of passing or being patient and all this shit. Well, this dude told me, like, is that a good or a bad thing? Because, you know, it also could be bad if he doesn't succeed. And I was like, okay, explain to me how getting more help is ever bad for you. Like, it's only bad if you suck, and if you suck, you are going to suck with sorry people or good people, and you are going to get all the blame. And he was like, well, if they lose now, they're going to blame RG3. I was like, they going to blame him no matter what. Yes. He's black. Yep. What part of black quarterback don't you understand? There is no black quarterback that loses, and people go, let's be reasonable about this. Cam Newton was struggling for 2 years, quote unquote, as a team to win, you know, a lot of games. And people was actually like shitting on this dude. You know what I mean? Now, when his team started winning, people acted like he was playing completely different. He actually played not as good last year as he played the first 2 years, in my opinion.
Not statistically.
Statistically,
no.
You know, yeah. What I mean? Like, I think he played conservative and stuff. Mm-hmm. But that's not what people were saying. Like, the people that were saying
he's smarter.
Yeah, people that were saying he was a better quarterback were saying shit like, well, you know, look at his stats. He's rushing the ball less, but he's, you know, he's throwing the ball, pretty effective. And I'm like, Cam was actually better last year just from a offensive perspective. Like, he was putting on a fucking show every week.
Yeah, he had to.
Yeah, he had to. Defense sucked. Like, this is the first year that he's been able to, like, leave the field with a 2-point lead, 3-point lead and go, I can go to the sideline and feel like my defense can stop them and we can win because I left 45 seconds on the clock and we up 3. As opposed to last year when it was like he leave the game, they could be up 6.
And still and fucking
they ass is about to get scored on with a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be back. And a
2-point conversion.
Yeah, they're going to put him back on the field with like 14 seconds left and be like, well, Cam, what you going to do?
Yeah, and it frustrates me as a Panthers fan because people act like they don't see none of that bullshit. They just think that he's just supposed to go out there and just win it all by himself.
And I just don't understand this idea, the mentality of, like, to me, you think black quarterbacks are inferior if you say don't get them help because it might make them look worse. Like, what? Then you think black quarterbacks ain't good. I actually think RG3 is a good quarterback that just has had some bad luck in his career with the injuries and, you know, also being stupid, man. Like, as smart as that dude is, it's pretty stupid to play through the injuries that he had. Like,
yep.
He's still just a football player at the end of the day trying to play through, like, I ain't got no knee ligaments, you know, like, that's pretty stupid. But at the same time, man, like, I saw them in his first year and he clearly has the tools to get it done. In his second year, even playing hurt, he still had some games where I was like, okay, RG3 got, you know, he got some hope. So yeah, having weapons, I think, will help. They really need an offensive line.
Yep. You know, the other thing I like about Robert
yes.
is that even through that injury, he didn't come out timid. Like, maybe mm-hmm. the first quarter he came out timid, but mm-hmm. after that, he came out ready to attack. And I think the confidence and arrogance of DeSean Jackson,
mm-hmm.
Hopefully it brings more swag into the locker room than what they already have. Mm-hmm. And it puts them, like, Washington already be in the news for all the wrong reasons. It'll just bring more of that, but in a, like, we win it and I called them a bunch of bitches while we was beating their ass. Like, it's going to mm-hmm. be that type of news every week coming from Washington.
Well, I think without the Shanahan's there anymore.
Yeah, that's a huge difference.
It'll change the culture because you won't hear all this bullshit from the locker room because they were leaking it.
Yes, they were.
Like, honestly, yep. man, think how differently people would feel about RG3 and the season if the Shanahan's weren't trying to, like, play a tug of war with their job and be like, hey, we never wanted him anyway. By the way, he told the coach, kiss his ass, and I don't want to look at the replay film of when I threw that interception, and RG3 is real buddy-buddy with the owner. Like, if those things don't get leaked by the Shanahans, people probably go, well, it was a tough season for the Redskins. RG3 played hurt, obviously, and he'll be back next year. Instead of being like, well, maybe he's the problem. Is he a cancer to the team? It's like, no, Shanahan, everywhere he gone has been dramatic and a cancer. So
yeah,
what's new?
And I think he's just a terrible coach, period. You know, it's one of those things where he goes in there, he rotates people around, he act like the players aren't grown ass men, he act like they're college players, he act like he just swaps somebody out.
Yeah.
And have a competition and shit like that, and it causes issues. And I think that's one reason why RG3 went out there, because it was like, shit, I might not have a fucking job if they decide to keep this crazy ass coach, because he, you know, he's playing tug of war with my goddamn job.
I can't
job.
Even believe he thought that it was an option to get RG3 off the team. Like, that's, to me, that tells you what kind of coach he was. Like, I think it started with the Albert Haynesworth thing when he slandered him, and he thought, oh, I got all the power here. I can make a team take a big ass loss on salary to make me look right. Cause let's be honest, Albert Haynesworth had a point, and in my opinion was right. Mm-hmm. Now, he turned out to be an asshole, and I'm not saying that, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, if you're an asshole and you right, that don't mean you get to keep your job, but you are, like, you're right, but you gotta go.
Yep.
Cause he was like, man, why are we switching the defense actually was pretty good. Y'all paid me all this money to play a certain defense. I can't play the other one. So why don't we do that? And then it was like, well, look how slow he is when he runs. It's like, yeah, but let's be honest, you're not paying him to run 100 yards.
What is he doing? What is he, what is he running for?
Yeah. Not to mention all the people that didn't understand the way that, the sprint time is actually connected to your weight. Cause they was like, yeah, I can run that. Yeah, you can. But if you weigh what you weigh, 160 pounds, you don't get that time. You don't get 40 seconds to do it. You actually get like, 17 seconds, and you can't do that because you're not an NFL athlete, idiot.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I was okay with the Haynesworth thing. I looked at it, questioned it, but I was like, I'm okay with that.
It was a sign, though.
But like, once he fucked up McNabb,
right?
Yeah,
that's when I was like, bro, get him the fuck out of here.
It's like, it's that thing though. Like, it's a sign. It's like when you start dating a chick, and she's like, you know, who was that to just call? And you're like, oh, that was my sister. What does she want? Nothing. I mean, she just called. Your sister call you at 10 o'clock at night all the time? I mean, if she has something she want to talk to me about 10 o'clock at night, I don't even see what the problem is. Okay. And then you just had that moment where you're like, she's not wrong, but this is a sign.
Yep.
And then later when you go and take a shower and you catch her looking through your phone, you go, I remember that shit with my sister. You was jealous of my sister calling me at 10 o'clock at night. And that was fucked up because you act like you ain't want to believe me then. That's what Albert Haynesworth was. He was that, why is your sister calling you moment? Cause I was like, sure, Albert Haynesworth is a dick, but if you were interested in being a good coach, you would try to work him into your system cause he cost a lot and your owner believed in him.
Yep. They sent him to the Patriots.
Yeah.
But I was so geeked up when McNabb came to Washington. Mm-hmm. I was like, yes, we got, like, they let go of McNabb.
Mm-hmm.
What are they thinking? Like, please come to Washington. Like, we need a quarterback. I think we had Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was replacing Jason Campbell. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, please, McNabb, thank you. Like, I appreciate it.
And now that y'all don't have Shanahan there, I expect Deshaun Jackson to actually take off and be good.
Yes.
Like, with the McNabb thing, I thought he would take off, and then Shanahan just starts sabotaging him pretty much. Because the thing with the Shanahans that I don't like is they're such cowards. They're just trying to, the whole time they're coaching, they're just trying to prove to everybody that us losing ain't my fault. Because they're so insecure about losing. And that can't, as a coach, if that's your only function, you're never going to get people on your side. You know, look at Greg Schiano, man. Like you're going to build a culture of losing because all you do is blame people. You don't take any of the blame yourself. And that can't, and once that spreads to your team, you got a bunch of dudes that nothing's their fault. Y'all losing, but it's nobody's fault. Nobody ever fucks up. It's always some other shit because they get it from you. You okay? I learned it from you.
And then not only that, it's one of those things where if you create a culture where people look at the coach and the coach is pointing fingers back,
yeah,
that's not a good culture either.
Yeah, like what? There's nothing wrong with a coach holding people responsible.
True.
But like every coach should be like, and this is where I fucked up because
that's true.
I should have had them prepared, or we worked on this all week and I obviously didn't do it. We didn't get it well enough. We're going to come back next week, blah, blah. Like you need to take some of the fucking accountability, especially when your team is shitty as the Skins were last year. Like,
oh, they were terrible.
That's such an epic level of fail compared to the expectations coming into the season. You cannot possibly be like, it's one dude's fault and it's not me. It's RG3.
Man, we'll look good the first quarter and get blowed out the rest of the game.
Yeah. Like, yeah, and you're supposed to be the defensive dude. You remember you switched the defense.
Yep.
That was already, middle of the pack to be last in the pack by switching to a completely different style. It's been 3 years. Why the fuck isn't your defense good?
Yep. And when you already had an established defense, if you come fuck it up at that point, that's on you.
Right.
The other thing is, what does that do to the Philly locker room when you got a dude that's kicking out a player like Deshaun?
Right.
And you slander his name.
See, that's the thing.
And nobody else agrees with that slander.
Right. Yeah.
Well, actually, we're about to read an article. Somebody does agree. But that's the thing, though, about the Philly locker room that I'm wondering is this a case of the players being on the coach's side because they didn't like this nigga either? Because I will admit Deshaun Jackson does come off like a jerk. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things, like, it's like Rob at the Y. I'd rather play with him even though he's a jerk because I know his game well enough to just kind of use him like a tool. I'm like, I give you the ball here. I'm going to ignore you when you talk to me. I'm a, you know, like certain things.
Yep.
But at the same time, it don't make him a good person. Like, if he don't come to the Y that day, I don't go, man, shit, Rob ain't here, man. What we going to do? I'll be like, pick up another nigga. Let's go. Like, we can still win without him. I wonder if they're like that about Deshaun, where it's just like, you know, dude has been an asshole, you know, in the locker room, cussing out coaches, all this shit, talking about money. Shit, I'm underpaid. This nigga up here yelling about some goddamn money. He get more money than everybody and he talking about money. Like, I could see a scenario where they had a coach's back. Now, flip side, I could also see a scenario where they like, so this how y'all do people?
Wait, because I was going to say, even with all those things you said about Deshaun, that's not why they said they released him.
That's right.
Technically, they didn't say they'd release him because of the gang ties either.
They leaked it.
Well, did they leak it?
Somebody did.
Somebody leaked it. I don't know that they leaked it, but let's just say they did because I think that's the most likely scenario. Because they didn't say they cut him for that, it's kind of like Josh Smith. Is that
Josh Freeman.
Josh Freeman. Yeah, it's like the Josh Freeman drug test. Where it's like, we don't know who said what. And it's like, well, y'all got the only motive.
Yep.
You know what I mean? But then players came out and said they didn't like Josh Freeman. You know, so they're like, we didn't vote him captain. Like, right. I thought the coach stripped him of captain. They was like, no, we just didn't want him to be captain.
But that's the thing. Then you don't have to slander his name or do those things to get rid of him. You just don't be like, you know what? He's not a good fit for our team. We moving on.
We agree.
Yeah, and
it's a dirty move. I don't care how you.
What I'm saying. That and because he did it that way for Josh Freeman, it affected his locker room in Tampa Bay. And I feel like even if they agree that Deshaun was an asshole, the way this other story leaking out, it's affecting their locker room.
Yeah, but it's weird too, because Tampa Bay, didn't they win after that? Some games?
They won like 3 games.
Yeah, that was weird.
All year.
And my thing is this.
4 maybe. Remember we was joking them because they showed up for work 4 days.
But it was at the, but it was funny because it was all at the end of the year, like, and it saved his job basically. You know what I mean? Like,
he got fired, I thought.
He did get fired?
Yeah, he was one of the guys that got fired.
I hope so, man. Let me look that up.
And I guess my thing is this. The problem that I have about the whole Deshaun Jackson situation, there are a lot of assholes that are on teams that people don't like, but they're still there. So to me, that's when I was like, in my personal, this is my personal opinion, and I might be wrong. I think y'all just didn't want to pay him.
What the fuck is this? 3 days ago on the Bucks Nation blog, this got to be an April Fool's joke. Yeah, this got to be. This is April 1st. It said Buccaneers rehired Greg Schiano as head coach. That's gotta be a joke. Let me look something else up.
Thanks. Cameron Booker say Lovey the coach. Now that's right.
You're right. But you know, but we was like, y'all gonna accidentally save his job because they went and played hard and won.
I think they looked at it. I think the agents was like, yo, you know, if y'all get X, Y, and Z, y'all get end of your bonuses, right? Because they don't expect.
I'm just saying.
And they got together. The team was like, yo. We fucking up our end of the year bonuses. Let's go out here and get these y'all.
I'm just saying bonuses. I expected them to lose out. Because I was like, what's the point? This dude's obviously an asshole. Y'all already suck. You're trying to get a good draft pick anyway. Just lose out. But, so here's another story, part of the story about Deshaun's release. Let me see if I can play it. I didn't know we had video.
What are your initial thoughts?
Well, you know, I can't say that I'm shocked by this because I think.
How they not going to set up the story, though? Really? Y'all just gonna jump into a conversation? Anyway, I'll just read it. Thanks, guys.
No!
What is this? CSN Philly? Okay. It didn't take long for Jason Kelce, I guess that's how you pronounce it, or Kelce, one of those two, to weigh in on Deshaun Jackson's release. Just minutes after the Eagles announced their decision to part ways with Jackson, the team's starting center took to Twitter. We just made an extremely unpopular decision. But I couldn't be more excited and happy where this organization is going. Hashtag fly Eagles fly. Kelce was drafted by the Eagles in 2011 and spent the last 3 seasons as Jackson's teammate. But just last month, the Eagles signed Kelce to a 6-year extension worth $37.5 million with $13 million guaranteed. Now, unlike Jackson, he'll be around to see exactly where this organization is going. That reaction and that of Michael Vick and Jeremy Maclin and head coach Chip Kelly earlier this week implies that those close to Jackson aren't shocked by his release. Macklin speaking Thursday at a charity event hosted by Todd Harriman's appear to expect it. Whatever happens in the organization happens in the organization. This is a similar situation when the Eagles decide to part ways with T.O. That's just how the game goes sometimes, so I guess we'll see. That's kind of telling. To compare to that, instead of like McNabb or, you know, some of the other dudes they've let go over the years, you know, to be like, oh, the most similar this is to T.O.,
yep.
That ain't good. That doesn't say a lot for what they think of Jackson either.
Well, that's what I was going to say is that if anything, he's like T.O. where he might be an asshole and at the end of his career, he probably won't be able to get work doing anything.
Yeah.
But while T.O. could actually still catch the football and had speed, nobody was really cutting him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's the catch 22 though, right? Like he's not T.O. level good either. Even though he is good, T.O., like, when T.O. was good, man, he was like great. Number one, number two receiver in the NFL good.
Him
like,
and Donovan McNabb, come on, dog.
Right, like, this would be like if fucking, the dude from the Bengals,
yeah,
you know, like, if you cut A.J. Green over some bullshit, like, oh, he got gang tied, like, A.J. Green could be fucking doing drive-bys with the Crips right now on Worldstar.com and they wouldn't cut him. But like DeSean Jackson is not T.O. level good to have T.O. level antics in the locker room. Now, the question is he having T.O. level antics in the locker room or not? Because he's not doing it in public like T.O. used to do. Because T.O. used to go on TV and be like, yeah, my quarterback is terrible. And the coaches, they don't put me in the game enough. They don't throw me the ball enough. I don't know why that my quarterback keeps throwing to the tight end. Are they best friends or something? Like, you know, like. I've never seen DeSean Jackson do that in public, but it's funny that Macklin picked that person to compare him to because that's not good.
The other thing, here's the thing I question. Mm-hmm. Is like you said, when guys are assholes in the locker room and their teammates don't like them, it becomes public knowledge. Everybody knows that guy's an asshole in that locker room. Mm-hmm. So if you've never heard, especially you being a Philly guy, and you've never heard those things about him, it's kind of like, why is this news all of a sudden?
Well, you know what it is, too, though. This happens a ton of the time once a guy leaves town.
Yeah.
Especially in basketball. It happens a whole lot. Like, once you're off the team, then all of a sudden, Ron Artest used to come to the game in flip-flops and no pants on. You're like, why didn't y'all say this when it was happening? Obviously, this would have been huge news. That he was on the bus smacking people and shit. And it's like, that never comes out till the guy's out of town. And then it's time to trash him. So it could be that, you know,
but that's the thing. Then is it just slanderous? Just cause like, oh, he not in my face now. I never really liked him as a person. I'm just going to make him look crazy.
I think it's slanderous somewhat, but it doesn't mean it's not true. You know, like it's kind of cowardly to be like, oh, so now you're off the team, which is kind of the problem with football in general, right? Now you off the team. Like, nigga, these are artificial constructs. Y'all are all really on the same team, which is y'all trying to
players,
get money.
Yep.
Against people that are trying to keep you from getting money. But okay, you want to believe in that. It's, you know, so now this dude don't wear the same jersey as you. It's basically fuck him all day.
Yeah, but technically you still work for the same company.
Yeah, and I think niggas see shit like this and it's like, that because they believe in camaraderie, they're kind of taught to like not speak up.
Well, see, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Then that contradicts everything that they say when it came to the Jonathan Martin case. That, oh, in the locker room, you can approach a guy for guys out of line. We all will check them. We all will do this and that.
Well,
hold up. We have each other's back.
Does it really contradict things? Because if you look at the Jonathan Martin thing from the other side, a lot of people let Incognito slide.
But that's my point. But they say one thing and consistently do another. And the truth is,
yeah, I think
they allow.
Yeah, this is closer. I'm sorry. This is closer to the truth, I think. Like, this is more, to me, more of a human trait to, oh, while we're working together, even if I don't like you, I'm going to keep it to myself. Oh, you got fired or you went to a different day. You know what? I never liked that dude. You know, he was kind of the worst the whole time.
People do that in the corporate world all the time.
People, it's human. Like, they try to act like the locker room is some big different entity. I don't think it's that fucking different from your regular job. Everybody's still human, right? So I think that's what happens is, I think, because honestly, the only benefit Macklin gets out of this is
he gets to start.
And he probably was going to get to start. He was going to get to start somewhere no matter what anyway. You know what I mean? Like, he got hurt before the season even started. If he's healthy, and obviously they must think he is because they gave him money and kept him on the team. Like, he probably was going to start anyway. So, or, you know, or maybe he would have got cut and he would have been the one going to a different team. It's obvious something was going on in that locker room because we've never seen anything like this before.
The other thing is, you know, we talked about this at the gym, is that it's a college coach out here trying to regulate men, and I don't think he necessarily is aware of how to deal with these personalities yet.
Possibly, man. Plus, you as a college coach, everybody always kissing your ass, and this is a situation where some of these dudes make more money than you. Some of these dudes have a longer contract than you have.
Yeah, they do.
Some of these dudes have a longer track record with the team than you have. So when you show up trying to talk that rah-rah-rah, talk down to these dudes like they boys, some of them not going to take that.
No, they're not, because they grown.
So can you swallow your pride and be like, well, this dude is good. So, you know, if I have to have a special relationship with Deshaun where we go in the locker room and it go in the corner and he cuss me out in private, but he show up to play, then I'm just going to have to do that. And some coaches are probably like, I can't take it.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that's the difference between a college coach and an NFL coach, is you learn how to approach your players to fit the needs of your needs and then the team's needs. You know what I mean? Because if they fit in your needs, then hopefully you'll be more successful as a coach. I think that's what happened to Seattle's head coach the first time around when he came to the NFL, and he tried the same thing he was doing in college, and it didn't work out. And then he came with Pete Carroll. Then it came with a different approach.
I think it also depends, though, if you – can win. You know what I'm saying? Like, all that being said, as great a coach as people think Bill Belichick is, I can't imagine any scenario where somebody can fuck up the culture of that locker room by disrespecting him and he'll let it stand. He didn't even let Randy Moss do a press conference talking shit.
Yep.
But like, see, he got out of there, and like, it was literally like that the day he was like, man, listen, man, this the way they doing this, I was like, man, he gone.
But it's that part is different because he had to establish himself first. Mm-hmm. And if you just get there, you're not establishing.
Well,
yourself.
He had been there a year. Remember that year they went to the Super Bowl?
No, I'm talking about the coach. The coach has been there and has been established.
I feel you, but let's be honest, dog. I'm saying it's winning, right? Chip Kelly got enough wins this year, made the playoffs, that he feels that he don't need to take that shit. Unlike, you know, Bill Belichick say when he started with Cleveland, you might could have cussed that Belichick out.
Yeah, and that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but Chip Kelly don't think that you can do that to him because, like I said, they would have went 6-10. Oh, yeah, he probably would have had to eat this. But
because I still don't think he would have ate it.
I don't know. I think he might. I'm just saying he might have had to because – when you let somebody go, it ain't you, it's the fucking owners that are like yes or no. If he walked up in there 6-10, like, we need to cut the best player on the team best wide receiver on the team, they would be like, for what?
And I get,
cause he cussed me out. He don't respect me.
And I get,
nigga, you 6-10. We don't respect you. Get the fuck back in the locker room and do what you doing. But when you
and 10, make it work.
Yeah, when you 10-6, you come in there smelling like, hey, we're going to Macklin back. This is my plan for the offense. We could probably draft another wide receiver. All of a sudden it's like, well, shit, he did go, you know, 10-6. They made the playoffs. I mean, Nick Foles is playing great. Riley Cooper came to prominence under this dude. I guess and Deshaun Jackson's gonna hit the cap, so next year we're gonna have to either cut him or make him take less money, which he said he won't do. We tried to offer him for trade. Nobody would accept any trade. So yeah, we gotta cut him. Like it.
And
like,
they still eating money from that though. They still owe him. I don't know if they owe him money or they just gotta pay penalties for it. But they still. I think it's like $6 million.
They still owe him money, but not as much as they would if he was on the actual team. Like. He would count more against the cap if he was on the team. Like, they can give him money. Like, here's your guaranteed money. Bye. They can give him that, and it'll actually save the money. You know? Plus, he wanted more, though. So, it's not even like a dude like this that wants more money is, and that's what I think. know what's funny
about this? We talked about it.
You know what's funny about this? I just thought about it while we're talking. This might actually be a residual from T.O. You know, like they might be scared by how they got burned by T.O.
Mm-hmm.
And this might be them flinching like, nope, not going through this shit again. Like,
so now you want to run your organization like Pittsburgh, where right. anybody that wants more money, you can leave.
And New England.
Right.
Yeah, New England.
Some of the best teams in the league. But I'm just saying.
But New England cheats.
But wouldn't, yeah.
And look at, and they play Miami twice a year.
Well, New England got the advantage of having Tom Brady.
And the Jets twice a year.
New England got the advantage of having Tom Brady making less money than he deserved.
Yes.
So like anytime somebody walk up in there like, look, man, now I've been putting my life on the line for y'all niggas. I'm top five linebacker in the NFL and I want top five linebacker money right now. They'd be like, to Bill Belichick, be like, hold on a second. Hey, this is Rebecca. Bill, can I help you? Yeah. Get Tom in here for a second. Yeah. Thank you. No. Calm down. Calm down, Wilford. Calm down. No, he'll be in a second. Yeah, Tom. Oh, yeah, Tom. Have a seat, man. Just I'm talking with Vince about his contract. He wants more money. And then Tom just be like, you want more money? Yeah, I want more. I deserve it. You know how much I get paid? I don't care how much you get paid.
Yeah, that's
Tom.
Your fault.
Yeah, that's you. Why are you bringing up that? I mean, because I'm just saying, like, I should get more money, and they not. I don't want more money. I'm not. They not giving me more money, so you already know they not giving you more money.
Man, true. I don't care what you doing. Yeah. I can't feed my kids off of this.
You're right. And then him and Bill Belichick. When you say something like that, they just look at each other. Tom and Bill start laughing and shit, and they just laugh till you leave the office. Like you just keep being like, "But this ain't fair." Now they be like, "Ah, it ain't fair." Oh God, it ain't fair. Okay.
Did he say fairness?
Yeah. I'm Tom Brady. Okay, you can get the fuck out. Like that, I feel like that's what happens every contract negotiation, with the Patriots. And, that's why that shit works there. But I'm just thinking like in this situation, they might be scared from the TO shit that happened. Like I said, he might really be an asshole in the locker room. I wouldn't put it past him.
No.
But, I'm okay with him being an asshole.
Yeah, well, you're getting him. Like, this is like if you get, like, a new pair of shoes, but I've had those shoes. Like, to you, they new. Like, I don't expect you to come back till next year to be like, yo, these shoes kind of tight, man. Like, it made my bunions hurt. I'll be like, well, that's why I got rid of them.
But this the other thing. If he was an asshole like the way T.O. is an asshole, I'm still okay with that. Because all T.O. did was tell the truth.
Yeah, that sounds good.
That's all he did was tell the truth.
But he still got to deal with coworkers. Right. You still got to deal with ownership.
Right, like you can't act like he wasn't making up shit though.
None of the relationships matter.
Yeah, but I know that that's bullshit because when I told Tripp that nobody cared about him living or dying, you stopped me. You stopped me and told me that not to say that shit, man. So I know like it does matter how you communicate with people, even if it's the truth. Even if I don't care about Tripp's living or dying or whatever, like, you can't just come out and say that shit because it's true. That's fucked up, man. So I you said that, and I apologize to that dude and everything, man, because it was like, you know what, Justin was right. That's a fucked up thing to say to somebody, so.
That was for that argument. For this argument.
but.
It's okay. For the record. Honest.
For the record, though, if I'm saying all this, I don't give a fuck. I didn't want them to let him go.
Yeah.
For the record, I don't care about any of this shit. I'm just saying I understand I understand as a man who's supposed to be a leader of men, if your experience with the best player on offense or what, you know, second best, whatever you want to say, is getting cussed the fuck out in public in front of the other dudes, I can see why as a man you have to be like, yeah, you got to go, bro. Like, it's just, I'm too new here to let you undermine my authority and still be able to coach this team, you know, which says a lot about Chip Kelly, in my opinion. And I feel like I won't be shocked if next year during the middle of the season, we're having this talk about LeSean McCoy or Macklin or one of the defensive players. Like, I won't be shocked if it comes out and it's like, yeah, now he trying to say that, he trying to say that Riley Cooper got ties to the KKK and they're gonna have to let him go, you know, like, yeah, he got cussed out again.
And also I think a lot of teens, and I guess for me, the problem I have with it is just the way the whole situation was presented. Like you say, if they wanted to be clean cut about it, they could have been like, we released him. They didn't have to say anything else. Because people get cut all the time where there's no strings attached, nothing about the background come out. But all of a sudden, shit leaked out about gang ties. All of a sudden, shit leaking out about his attitude. And I guess for me, that's the problem that I have with it. Because if it was just a clean cut, or even if he was an asshole, even people being assholes get cut, it's normally you just cut away. Also, I think that people are afraid of Hernandez situation, mm-hmm. where they like, we do not want to deal with it. We don't want to put up with it. The first time we hear anything, you gone. What if that's the thing and the problem that I have this standard on anybody? Well, why didn't you cut Cooper last year? You know what I'm saying? Since we got these high standards on anything that you quite kind of sort of are associated with, and you caught this nigga on film.
White privilege.
Mm-hmm.
But and that's the problem I have. It's like, be fair with it.
But honestly, though, that's different than cussing out the coach in the locker room. Like, honestly, it's different. Like, because he came to the locker room humble, apologized to everybody, went to racism rehab for 72 hours, came back, and never said a fucking word. You know what I mean?
That's true.
It's like having a coworker that disrespects the boss is just a bigger violation in a locker room than having a coworker that did some stupid shit. Cause like Ray Rice beat up his fiance in public, and people, every person to a man on that team seems to have his back because it didn't happen to them, and he didn't violate a locker room protocol. As a man protocol, a lot of men have problems with a dude putting his hands on a woman like that.
Yes.
But in the locker room, as a coworker, they're like, yo, what does that got to do with this?
Yeah, this, we at work now.
Yeah. So like Deshaun, I'm just saying from the players and their quotes that they're picking to say, it sounds like the players are saying, dude, look at this one from Mike Vick.
Well, hold on. Before you even say that, it sounds like the same type of dudes that said, oh, well, Martin should have just punched him in the mouth then if he had a problem. Sound like these same dudes should have followed Martin's plan and went to HR.
What you mean?
Like they had an issue with a dude that was disrupting the locker room and didn't like it. I guess his presence and the way he carried himself. They should have went to HR.
Yeah, but if he was only cussing out the coach and shit, or just being an asshole on the field, like, I don't know if you can report it if it's not like systematic harassment. Like, you know, the other shit got raped.
Coach should have went to HR.
Okay. I'm just trying to be.
Oh, put him on the bench.
I'm just trying to be reasonable.
Can he not bench him? Can he not say?
He could have. I think sometimes it takes a change in your life, this is Mike Vick, to understand really what needs to happen. And of course, that needs to be set. Maybe it's time for a change for Deshaun to help him understand the maturation process of his young NFL life and his personal life. Whatever happens, I will continue to be a great friend to him and try to help him as much as I can mentor-wise so he doesn't have to go through any situations that may be detrimental to his life. So
Michael Vick's like, I done seen some things,
right?
And,
like,
and that route is not a good route.
That's Mike Vick speak, which is 100% filtered for political correctness.
Mm-hmm.
And even that sounds a little bit like it's on Deshaun. Like Deshaun was doing shit. We all seen it. He had to go.
Yeah. Like they weren't going to put up with
Yeah. Him. And
I think he cussed the own out too.
He might have, man.
He cussed everybody in
the
mouth.
The other thing too is he'll probably get on the Redskins and be fine if they're able to like win, and because he wants to prove everybody wrong, he got 3 years, he got a deal, and it's a change of scenery. You know what I mean? Like it's a more up and coming young team as opposed to, well, the Eagles are fairly young, but you know, like,
man, they already been out clubbing.
Yeah, exactly.
He already been out clubbing.
Yeah, you know, and to an extent, I understand what you're saying. Versus when he got to Philly, you had Donovan McNabb, which was already an older quarterback. Then he got Michael Vick, which was already an older quarterback.
And it's not safe in Philly. You can't go to the club.
But I'm just saying, DC now. Right.
Hey.
But this shit probably wouldn't even have popped off if McNabb was still there. Like, this is one of those things where a veteran presence pulls aside a young dude like, hey, man, we can't be coaches cussing out the coach. I know you're frustrated. I'm the quarterback. if you have an issue, filter it through me. I'll definitely address it with them. You know, I'm be the liaison for us in this locker room, as opposed to Nick Foles, who probably like, man, shit, I'm just happy that I'm still starting.
Yep.
You know.
But let's say this, though. Mm-hmm. We talked about this at the end of the year. Cats was going to be in that room after Riley Cooper got paid. Where my motherfucking money at?
Yeah, I was the one.
And if they had sense, they would send their agent and not going there themselves.
Yeah, I was the one who said it would be Deshaun, though. You yep. thought it would be LeSean McCoy.
I thought it was going to be Shady.
Shady cool. Like, Shady on some like, man, shit, I'm trying. I'm getting my money. I'm just not going to fuck it up and keep getting paid. Deshaun the hothead. He like, he probably was in there trying to get everybody on his side. Man, they going to pay the cracker?
I should have
some more money. They gonna pay the cracker some more money, dog? Really?
Well, which one? Was it Deshaun also one said, yeah, that's fucked up him calling everybody niggas?
LeSean McCoy was the one like, man, I will play with him, but I don't fuck with him, period. Like, we just coworkers now. And then, like, halfway through the season when they started winning, he was like, nah, he cool, man. Like, I decided to let it go.
I wonder what Deshaun kept, if he kept continuing.
Yeah, you know,
he like, he might not have said that publicly.
Yeah.
But in the locker room, he probably kept fucking with him.
Yeah.
Like, you still trying to fight here, nigga?
Why don't you just throw it to the nigga lover? That's like, let it go, Deshaun. Let it go. Now you let it go and give my motherfucking money. I like Deshaun. I like Deshaun, said Chip Kelly. Deshaun did a really nice job for us, but we're always going to do what's best for the organization, which is coach speak for. I don't like Deshaun. Deshaun was a real big asshole to us, which means me, but we're going to always do what's best for me, which is getting him off the team. Mm-hmm. Now, when I go for an inside scoop, you know, I have to go to that tall Black Sports Online. For weeks, we've heard stories of gang affiliations and legal issues possibly being the source of Deshaun Jackson's departure from Philadelphia. Now, CBS Philadelphia is painting a different picture via sources who say that Jackson was a total malcontent in the Eagles locker room and had worn out his welcome with everyone. According to the report that quoted sources close to and around the team, including current and former players, Jackson was not very well liked by his teammates. D-Jax allegedly was insubordinate, threw temper tantrums, and reportedly cussed out Chip Kelly several times in front of the team.
Damn it, Deshaun.
As one former Eagle said, Jackson pushed the NFL rookie coach the way a child would test boundaries and was more concerned with his rap label than he was about winning football games. Those sources also said that Jeremy Maclin likely wouldn't have returned to the Eagles if Jackson had been retained. God damn, that's pretty bad.
Sound like a bunch of bitches in that locker room.
Come on, man.
Y'all should have just punched him in the mouth and and got the locker room straight.
Come on, man.
That's what you wanted Martin to do.
No, I didn't.
Not you. Either. Not you.
I didn't hear any of these guys say that. I didn't hear
anybody.
I'm
not saying you. I'm referring to all the people.
I didn't hear anyone on the Eagles team that said, just punch him in his mouth.
Nope.
Okay. Are you talking about some other people that I...
You talking about Black Twitter?
None of these
I'm
people.
I'm referring to anybody that said Martin should have punched...
Yeah, Black Twitter, like I said.
The other guy in the mouth.
Then the people that were saying that.
Right. All those guys should be like, nope. Jackson, not the problem.
Here's
those
some
other guys in the locker room are bitches.
Here's some quotes. The fact is, Jackson was a me guy with an attitude problem, and Maclin is the complete opposite of a team guy. A great character guy you go to war with, said one source. Funny how Jackson has this anti-bully thing, and he thought he could push Kelly around. He found out otherwise. His being cut had nothing to do with gang stuff. The team knew it. Everyone knew he had ties. Those are his guys. That's okay. That's the other thing I've been thinking. That's the other thing about this that I'm like, it doesn't really make sense to even leak that. I mean, niggas got gang ties in NFL.
Right.
A lot. And it doesn't, just cause you have gang ties doesn't actually mean you're a gangster. You do any crimes. A lot of kids come from, you know, neighborhoods and shit where it's like, if you don't join with somebody, you know what I mean? You got
not go survive.
Right. You from here, so that means you Southside Crip, nigga. That's it. That's not really
an option.
Don't mean you gonna go out killing anybody. Shit, half the time, those are the dudes that are like, man, don't fuck your future up fucking with us, but we'll protect you and make sure that you are okay.
We
look out for little niggas like you. Like, hey, don't, you know, some of them just might not even let you join. They'll just be like,
yep, just don't disrespect the set.
Right. Just don't. We like, hey, Deshaun, what you doing out of school? Oh, man, you know, fuck school. Nah, dog, you got a future. Go your ass to school. Like, don't let me catch a little ass out here at the park again. Like, that's the kind of shit sometimes that gangs will do. for a community. But of course, because of John Singleton movies, we think it's all just killing niggas and, you know, drive-bys.
Ricky!
Right. those were his guys. That's okay. What put him out was his selfishness. He could try and spend it all he wants on how he's a team player. He's not. I'll put it this way. When it came to last Friday that Jackson was released, more than a few guys were happy it happened. They said good riddance. He had no real connection with anyone. Yes, you can say he was the type that catch three TDs in a loss. Everyone would be down, but you'd have the impression he was happy because he got his. It was all about him. A lot of guys thought that way about him. Kelly came in here with a plan to get this thing right, and the one major obstacle standing in his way was Jackson. If we were going to move forward as a team, he had to go. Think about it. Did anyone come right out and back him publicly? Not one. Damn. Now think about it. Why didn't at least one player have his back? Like, that is a lot of...
He must not have no friends.
There's a lot of people on the NFL roster, and even when...
Over 50.
Yeah. Even when Freeman got cut, a couple dudes like, that ain't right. Like, nobody? The report in itself is explosive and paints Jackson as the worst teammate you could ever imagine. I'm sure there will be questions about who's leaked all this information, but why now it's being released to the public. Here's one. You see little kids and how they cry and whine when they don't get their way. That was D-Jax. I don't think Jackson gave Kelly the respect he deserved. Kelly tried to reach Jackson plenty of times and Jackson tuned him out. Then you look at team functions where everyone is out together at charity things and social stuff. He was the one missing. It was like he was in D-Jack's world and we just happened to be there. With Reed, Jackson tried pushing boundaries too, but he looked at Reed, I think, much differently than he looked at Kelly. Reed came in with the NFL pedigree. He was the guy that drafted Jackson. He was the one that called him on draft day and laid down the law right then. Reed wouldn't tolerate any outside interference from anyone. Now you get this college guy, Kelly, and he's not going to tell Jackson what to do. Kelly has a vision for his team, and he is very old school coach in a lot of ways. But there's only so much a coach can take.
I agree.
Furthermore, there are two different reports out about Jackson, and yet the Eagles still haven't released a statement on the matter. Chip Kelly apparently is the reason the Eagles still haven't spoken. That's Kelly's way, said one source. It pisses me off that Kelly comes off looking like the bad guy here. It wasn't just Kelly that wanted him gone. Kelly got a lot of feedback from guys that felt we were better off without Jackson, too. Kelly is very much a player's coach. His office is open to anyone. Now Jackson is the Redskins' problem. We have something good going here, and it's going to get better without Jackson. He had to go.
So, that's a lot of turmoil then.
Shit, dog. Like, I mean, look, this is coming from that tall.
You can hate me now.
So I believe it. You know what I mean?
Won't stop
like,
now.
There's, of all the sources that I trust, on the Blackout Tips, premium podcast, Balls D Sports, that tall is pretty high on the list of sources I trust. So, you know, if he's saying it was some locker room turmoil, I'ma roll with that. Even, like I said, even still, I would rather have him on the Eagles as an Eagles fan. But if it was causing all that strife, I see why people could just be like, man, no. Like,
you know,
I just hope they could back this up on the field rather than just be talking about it in the locker room. Cause all this shit sounds good right now.
Until you start losing.
Yeah, but if you start the season 2-5, nobody gonna give a fuck about how peaceful the locker room is.
They gonna forget he was a problem.
Yeah, after a loss. Nobody gonna be shit, if somebody caught 3 touchdowns in the loss, maybe it would have been a win.
The other thing is, how come that story doesn't leak out originally instead of the game stuff?
Yeah, who knows, man.
If we'll be like, I don't want that headache. As a Redskins fan, we'll be like, we do not want that headache. And had they leaked out those issues, like, Chip would have gotten what he want, which is secretly to be like, I don't want him in the league at all. Because a lot of times, you know, when teams cut a guy, they just don't want them in the league at all.
Yeah. I figured somebody would take a chance on a talent like that. He's just too good. Even if the report was like, he pulled his dick out and pissed on Chip Kelly. Somebody would have been like, hey, man, we could use that. We need more of that Minnesota.
We need more of that mentality.
Yeah, we need a dude that's not afraid to piss on the coach.
Yep.
Maybe that'll equal wins.
Because he'll take it out there on the field.
Speaking of taking it out to the field, Jabari Parker still want to be a slave. That's right. He's planning to return to Duke, according to NBA scouts.
What year is he? Second, third?
Freshman.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
It's unprecedented because, like, honestly, dude, if I had the number one draft pick in the NBA next year, I would take Jabari Parker. Now, I know Justin doesn't agree with that. And maybe this will move him up on justice board, you know, getting another year of college experience. But like, to me, like, his game was so smooth and good. Like, I would have drafted him high. And, it's pretty, you know, interesting to see a dude that wants to come back to school, you know?
Yeah, I just wonder what makes him want to come back to school.
That's my question. Why?
And you know what it could be? He don't want to have to go to work yet. I think if I was 18 and somebody said to me, look, you're going to make millions, but you had to go to work.
Or you can stay here and fucking still be broke? Why?
Yeah, but you don't got to go to work. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe that's the only thing I can think of. And I don't know how broke he is. Like, broke is relevant to growing up without having things in most people's mind. But he could be like Grant Hill. Well, you know, Grant Hill was riding around in a Land Rover back when he was in college. You know, he wasn't broke.
That's true. But at the same time, guess who money that is? That's not your fucking money. That's your parents' money.
Right. But as an 18-year-old, their money is your money in your mind. Like, you don't really.
Okay. Yeah. You don't think outside of the box.
It could also be that maybe it's part because they picked a kid who's Mormon.
Yeah, that could have something to do with it. And he values certain things. Education might be one of them.
Yeah, like I know they do mission trips and stuff. Like, they put a lot of stuff off, you know. So maybe, you know, he just want to go back to go to Duke. And apparently they have Jahlil Okafor, who's his friend. And he's coming to Duke, so they could go back and hang out.
That might be something. Like, hey, I recruited my friend to come here. You know, if he's coming, I'm staying. But yeah, I guess for me, I don't have that kind of loyalty or that fucking love. That right there ain't gonna pay my bills. And if I fuck around and get hurt, I'm still not gonna make no money.
He
could be
setting them up for the okie doke. Like, once they get his friend, he could be like, all right, I'm out. I got my friends here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know this much.
That's still dumb to me.
If I tanked this whole year thinking I was going to get Jabari Parker and that nigga go back to school, I would be so upset. Hurt.
You got to take 2 years in a row.
I would be so hurt, bruh. Like, people are going to get tired of this shit soon.
People tired of Cleveland winning in the draft. they stay losing, though, at the same time.
My man Richard Sherman wrote a whole article about DeSean Jackson. Stardom doesn't change where you're from. He wrote it for Monday Morning Quarterback, Peter King's site.
Sure.
Amid reports of gang ties, the Eagles cut Sean Jackson. I grew up with him. I believe him to be a good person. I also know why NFL players from inner city neighborhoods like mine in LA keep friends from where we were nobodies. I'm not going to tell you DeSean Jackson isn't in the game because I can't say unequivocally that he isn't. I can't tell you whether his friends have done things police have accused him of doing because I wasn't there. I can't tell you what DeSean does with his time because we play football on opposite ends of the country. I can only tell you that I believe him to be a good person. If you think, say it right. Otherwise, without knowing the man, you're in the wrong. And it's true the Eagles terminated his contract in part because they grew afraid of his alleged gang ties. Then, if it's true, then they did something worse. I look at those words, gang ties. I think about all the players I've met in the NFL and all of us who have come from inner city neighborhoods like mine in Los Angeles. I wonder how many of us could honestly say we're not friends with guys doing the wrong things. I can't. I grew up in Watts. I played baseball with DeSean in elementary school on the team coached by his father near Inglewood. His father, Bill, picked me up from elementary school 30 minutes away from his home for practice and games because my parents both worked and didn't finish until later. And I watched, I wanted to play baseball with some childhood friends. Bill was a great coach and a great man. He died of pancreatic cancer in 2009, the summer after his son's rookie season. DeSean and I didn't hang out like when we did as kids. Those men with DeSean in the social pictures that the police reports weren't his closest friends in childhood. But when his father died and a few people were there for them, they were there. When a tragic event like that happens, the people who are around are the people who are all around, and they were there for him. Well, DeSean's supposed to say, thanks, guys, but now I'm a millionaire. Please leave me alone. Even if he wanted to, he wouldn't have. In desperate times for people who come from desperate communities, your friends become your family. I wouldn't expect DeSean to distance himself from anybody. And so many people suggest pro athletes ought to do, despite having no understanding of what that means. Going to college and playing in the NFL creates a natural distance, but we can't push people away just because they're not as successful as us. I can't change who I grew up with, but what I can do is try to educate them on the right way of doing things, help them when they need it, and try to keep them out of trouble. There is, of course, a tipping point. There have been many times when I realize someone can't be helped because they continue to do the wrong things. Typically, the only time I cut someone off is when they're in jail because I can't help them there. Well, shit, that's kind of cold. That might be even colder. That's when they need you the most.
Yep.
I ain't visiting you, nigga. If you're accused of a crime, as Sean Friends has been, should that reflect poorly on me? Consider that for every several guys I try to help who end up dead or in jail. That's another person I was able to rescue from a similar end. Should I give up on everybody out of fear of being dirty by the media? Sorry, but I was born in this dirt. The NFL teams understand that. The Seahawks get it. Philadelphia Eagles apparently do not. This offseason, they re-signed a player who was caught on video screaming, "I will fight every nigga here." He was representing the Philadelphia Eagles when he said it, but of course, everything we do is reflective of the organization. But what did they do to Riley Cooper, if he's not a racist, at least has ties to racist activity?
I love that.
That's good. That's real good. They fined him and sent him to counseling. No suspension necessary for Cooper and no punishment from the NFL, despite its new interest policing our use of the N-word on the field. Riley instead got a few days off of training camp and a nice contract in the offseason too. Commit certain crimes in this league and be a certain color and you get help, not scorn. Look at the way many of the media wrote about Jim Irsay after his DUI arrest. Nobody suggested the Colts owner had ties to drug trafficking, even though he was caught driving with controlled substances, prescription pills, and $29,000 in cash to do who knows what with. Instead, poor millionaire Jim Irsay needs help, some wrote. But Deshaun Jackson is the menace, right? He's just as bad as those guys he parties with because he threw up a Crip sign in a picture and he owns a gangster rap record label. If only all record label owners were held to this standard, somebody might realize Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg weren't the bosses behind N.W.A. Jim Irsay lookalikes in suits were. But go ahead and judge Deshaun for the company he keeps. While you're at it, judge me too, because I still live in Los Angeles and my family does too. We didn't run from where we grew up. We aren't afraid to be associated with people who came up with us. We brought some of our money back and started charities. We tried to help out a few guys who were with us when we were nobodies. I want to apologize for that, and I suspect neither will Deshaun when he's back in the field doing what he's always done, grinding through adversity. First of all, well written.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with most of the points he made. But if he was acting like an asshole in that locker room,
gotta go.
He gotta go.
Gotta go, cuz.
Yeah, like that's the thing that, like, it's one of those things of like, you can say this from a distance because he's not cussing your coach out. He's not, not showing up to the charity events y'all host. He's not, like, you know, everybody talking from a distance. You know what I mean? Like, if you go by that tall, which, you know, I believe in till proven wrong. I feel like you can have it. You can't have it both ways. Like, sure, you shouldn't cut a dude for being gang affiliated, quote unquote. Just although that is a stretch, honestly, but you shouldn't cut a dude for just being gang affiliated. But if they're canceling the locker room, when can I cut a dude?
Ironically, though, I think the point he was trying to make that if you can do all those other things and get counseling or help, mm-hmm. then why get Keshawn help.
Yeah. But what if he don't? What if he won't take help though? Some people don't want to be helped,
right, and I get that. And then,
like,
that might
what are you
be
gonna
different.
Do? Like, because he in jail basically, and you got to cut him off, like Sherman would do.
Right, and I get that if that's the situation.
Yeah.
But it seems like to me they were just like, you got to go.
He not really mad at the Eagles, dog. He mad at the media.
Yeah, he mad at the system.
Like the Eagles ain't really got shit. Like the Eagles, like I said, like would care about Riley Cooper. Riley Cooper came in the locker room with his head down, humbled, worked hard, shut the fuck up, never tried to defend his actions, didn't cuss nobody out, and he ended up getting paid because he fit back into the locker room. If he would have came in and talking about, yeah, I said it, man, he would have been cut like shit. Like, he would have been cut before the season started if he would have said, no, I'm not apologizing. Yeah, I said it. Y'all
and
go
I hope them niggas burn in hell.
Right. Y'all go deal with that. Like, he would have been cut like... Like, I hate, like, I'll put it this way. I agree with much of what Richard Sherman says, and he probably wrote this before the other shit leaked or whatever.
True.
But I would just say, I really do hate when we as black people create like excuses for our behavior.
You mean when we support people just because they black?
Right. I hate that shit. Like we, like you can't, like it can't just be that. Like we got,
we
like
gotta look at the facts first.
Right. Like it's like I don't support President Obama because he's black, just because he's black. I love that he's black, but he's also the best fucking president ever. You know what I mean? Like, not just because he's black, but just because of the things he's been able to accomplish in the situation he was put in. Like, I want to support Deshaun Jackson, and everybody knows as soon as this happened, I was like, this is fucking stupid. I hate it. But, like, if niggas is, nobody gonna come to this dude's defense. If motherfuckers is like, dude was fucking up our locker room, I can't defend that. Like, I don't want to be that blind where I'm just like, I don't give a fuck if he was fucking up the locker room.
Well, you know, the thing, like you said, Sherman doesn't have a locker room that's like that.
Right, yeah. He got a coach they respect. He got a quarterback that got, well, I don't.
They get to smoke weed in the locker room if they want to. Like, that's true. Like, their locker room setting is all the way different.
And Russell Wilson is the so low-key as quarterback, it will completely disrupt the whole franchise if motherfuckers start acting crazy.
Yep.
Like, he'll be like, even if he didn't have the veteran, you know, stripes to pull him aside, it would still be like, dog, what you doing? You know, like somebody in the locker room pulled him aside, like, come on, man, we trying to win.
Yep.
So yeah, it's easy for Sherman to say that shit, man, but you know.
But I don't think he's saying it, like, he's saying it from a different place though.
Yeah, I think he's saying it strictly from the, I've been reading media reports and the way y'all talking about Deshaun and this gang shit is stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I agree with him there.
Yes, I do too.
But at the same time, if the niggas acting a fool in the locker room,
that's
different.
You can't bypass
now,
that.
Now, yeah. On the flip side, when you was reading it, I was like, so how long till he have a meeting and somebody sit Sherman down and tell him to shut the fuck up because he been doing too much this offseason?
Right.
Voicing his opinion about shit that don't concern him.
Yeah. I ain't gonna lie, halfway through that, I had that thought. Until he finished real strong, I was like, nigga, you don't have to say something about everything.
Right, but
we get it, you smart.
And he been commenting a lot about all this. And once he brought up the other owner.
Yeah, I'm like,
man,
okay.
No. Ownership stick together.
Don't get traded to the Colts.
Yeah.
Don't get traded to the Colts.
Man, ownership stick together, man.
Seattle fuck around and be like, hold up, y'all doing what now? Y'all just gonna get rid of T.Y. Hilton? But, all right. Apparently, Paul Pierce said that, Kevin Love, might be, sick, and that, he resents playing for the Timberwolves.
Might be sick, like good sick or like,
sick of playing
like
for
got, him. Like he got AIDS sick?
Nah, like he's sick of losing. He says,
okay, yeah.
What was the quote, man? I swear it was a quote in here earlier.
Because nobody want to be on the losing team all the time.
You think Ricky Rubio?
Not Rubio.
Ricky Rubio isn't all he cracked up to be in.
Yeah, he struggled. His coach said they held him all game, just to be honest. For his part, Love sounded like he might not be particularly impressed with the Brooklyn's 2014 turnaround. He says, their vets are healthy. They got guys who can step up and make shots, said Love, who then added, they're in the East. Some of his resentment surfaces because the Timberwolves are 36-36 and are playing out the string in a much deeper Western Conference, while at least one and potentially two teams are likely to make the playoffs in the East with losing records. But he also wasn't willing to give Paul Pierce any credit for the way he and the Nets shut him down. Offensively, Love finished with 14 points on 5-for-14 shooting to go with 9 rebounds. He said, they did a good job, but it was really just me being exhausted. I couldn't find any energy in the second half. Why couldn't he find any energy? I don't know. I might have been sick or something. Which, you know, sounds like a real MT excuse. don't want to get other team no credit. Paul Pierce said, hearing what Love said, Paul Pierce, who guarded the Minnesota Power Forward most of the game, had the diagnosis, Pierce-itis.
Oh, Lord. He said, his own words up?
Walking out of the locker room, he said, it's getting around. That's so good.
I mean, they have been winning a lot lately.
Yeah, he's scoring 33 points on 10-for-10 shooting and 8-for-8 from three-point land.
Man,
and
I think once kids stopped going to the club with them, like, then things changed. Like, it was a new scenery, Paul Pierce had never really partied in New York like Kid. You know, Kid had been in New York for a while. He knew all the spots to go to. So when him and Garnett first got there, they was out clubbing, partying, having a good time. And then Kid was like, wait, I'm part owner in here. Like we need to win, and I'm a coach. Like, Lawrence, we're going to blame it on Lawrence. Nobody likes him anyway. You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
makes sense. The Wade said the Heat's big three are going to have a meeting. At the end of the season, because apparently all three of them could opt out this summer, even though people only talking about LeBron James.
Oh shit!
She's the only one that's important.
Yeah, but yeah, they're gonna meet.
he don't want to matter.
Man, what you think this meeting? Wade gonna be begging?
Yeah, like please, LeBron. Let
me know where you going, and
because wherever you go, I'm going.
I think Chris Bosh and Brian gonna be like, yeah, we meeting and we decide you need to opt out. Dwayne.
What's ironic is Bosh used to be the odd man out.
Mm-hmm.
He used to be Michelle to their Destiny's Child.
Yeah, now he Kelly.
Mm-hmm. He done stepped his game up. His photos done got better.
Mm-hmm.
You think D Wade gonna be like, that's my fault getting the mistress pregnant? I know I brought
a lot of stress on the team.
A lot of stress to y'all. Like, y'all wives start looking at y'all a little closer because we all was hanging out and they start questioning what all of us were doing.
True. Mm-hmm. Well, would you blame them?
I mean, we already know that, that LeBron's wife used to get phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
Asking to speak to D Wade,
right?
And LeBron would be like, he in the bathroom.
She like, what? He's not here,
right?
He like, well, I just, you know, it was the wrong number.
We already know Gabby used to call all their wives looking for him because she know what the deal is. She know he'll step out on his wife.
Yeah, Wade can say he just focusing on enjoying this team right now, and not the future right now. So,
if I was LeBron, I don't know how you could trust D Wade.
Paul Gasol, I don't know how you can trust him. He has another bout of vertigo. Severe recurrence of vertigo again.
Paul Gasol. Damn it, man. Is it real or is it the Lakers saying these things so that when they tank, it looks legit?
What does it do?
It makes you not be able to, it messes with your balance. You won't be able to see. I mean, not like you feel dizzy and stuff.
Yeah.
Just walking and standing. Didn't he have this before though? Like in a different year with the team?
Right. And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, but that's why they can be like, listen, sit because of your vertigo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, use that as excuse.
You know what I mean? And so then when they lose these other games, it's like, oh, they just injury.
Oh,
they not tanking like other teams.
You think they just walk over and push him over and go, that's your vertigo. All right. You out for the rest of the season.
Has to.
Yeah.
Like, they forced Steve Nash to come back early just so his back could bother him again. Like, they smart, man. They smart at losing.
Tom Brady said it was one of the scarier days he has experienced while living in Boston. Huh. I'm Tony Collins with your ESPN headline. Brady joins people around the country in expressing their condolences after a 9-alarm fire claimed the lives of 2 Boston firefighters. Brady witnessed the fire firsthand on Wednesday when the flames broke out near his home. He spoke with Boston radio station WEEI's Dennis and Callahan show describing the scary scene and the respect he has for the men who gave and risked their lives in the line of duty.
I was in my bedroom, and I'm about 4 doors down from there. So my wife and, you know, I have my daughter were in the house, and my wife, look outside. There's a fire, and I looked out the front of our house and could see the flames, and then kind of went back to my room and then went back about 2 minutes later and just saw it growing. And at that point, I had gone to the back part of the house and from my deck and could see, kind of what they were up against. And at that point, all the fire engines were, coming down the street. And then you start, I was watching for, obviously a long time. And then, at one point I saw a pretty, big explosion of flames, and a lot of the firemen were coming out of the building, and that's when I really got nervous.
Yeah.
So I felt so badly for them, and our lives were never in jeopardy at all. Thanks to those men and brave men and who were there fighting that fire for us. But I mean, that was a very intense day of weather and wind, and you just can't imagine all those things that really happened. And how quickly those things can get out of control.
The blaze took the lives of Lieutenant Edward Walsh and firefighter Michael Kennedy. It also left 13 other firefighters injured. I'm Tony Collins with your ESPN headline.
So basically what I'm hearing is Tom Brady, the coward, sat there and watched people die from his house instead of going to help out in the fire. I mean, that's the only way I can see it, man. It makes sense. It makes sense as a dude that clearly took less money so that his teammates would be forced to take less money, helping out the man instead of helping his teammates get paid. Sounds like the kind of thing he does when he witnesses Will Fort go to a different team.
Yeah, he was like, well, they make less than me, so they ought to sacrifice themselves.
He just sit there and watch them burn up. Economically. So it makes sense to me, man. I mean, this is a guy that sat back and let Spygate happen on his watch and never said anything to the coach.
Now that's true.
You know, I feel like,
why didn't he see the plays in this?
Captain America would have said something, you know.
I just said, don't know why he was scared if he wasn't even in danger.
Well, he was scared.
He said himself. He said, I wasn't in any danger.
Not very clutch. Not very clutch.
But he said he was scared.
Peyton Manning told his agent one thing. I don't want to make more than Tom Brady.
Why? What is up with all these dudes?
Because they was like, I don't want the pressure.
they want less money. What?
White people are weird. Right?
Right. Like,
but
I'm
they
never.
They got enough money where it don't even matter.
My
you
thing
can do a
is.
Number.
If I go to my agent, I say I only have one request. I want to make more than Tom Brady.
Yeah.
They say, why? Because when he beats me, I want to shake his hand like, bitch, I'm rich.
Ain't that the truth?
Like, he'd be bragging about this game. I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to go spend some of my money. Okay, Thomas?
Not only that, I go to the Super Bowl regularly.
Yeah, I'd love to talk right now, but I got to go shoot a Papa John's ad.
Hell yeah.
Because I'm trying to get rich, and one day I'm going to buy your team. And then we're going to laugh, okay? We retire your jersey together. That's how I would look at it.
I've just never been at work and been like, give me less money than Susan. Yeah. I like Susan. Give me less than her. Whatever she's making, less than that.
And you put your agent in a bad situation because he has to tell people, right? He has to.
Yeah.
Because if I'm Peyton Manning's, if I'm looking at Peyton Manning's agent, and I'm like, why should I sign with you? You can't even get Peyton Manning more money than Tom Brady, and Tom Brady took a pay cut. And then he got to tell me, like, whoa, buddy. I could have got him more. He said no, because he want to make less than Tom Brady. He said not a penny more than Tom Brady, so I had to do it that way.
Or it might be one of them situations where he wants to look at honorable, too. You know, it's one of them things where it's like, okay, I don't want to put my team in a situation where we can't pick people up and shit like that.
Before you even go on that, let me just tell you what an agent don't give a fuck about.
I know that. Looking honorable.
No agent gives a fuck about looking honorable. That is the opposite of what an agent wants to do. An agent wants to look like, I will do whatever the fuck it takes to get you this money.
I make more money when your ass make more money.
Right. So he needed to come out and explain, I could have got this dude more money, like 25 mil a season. He said, no, I don't want to make more than Tom Brady. So don't blame me. Please, NFL rookies coming into the NFL, continue to sign with me because I could get you paid unless you on some weird shit like
Peyton. It's his choice not to make less money.
Yeah. He said when Manning decided to sign the Broncos, he asked Colin, what does Tom Brady make? And he said $18 million a year. He said, I don't want to make a penny more than that. The agent told MMQB.com that Manning was incensed at him when he found out the Broncos offered $19.4 million annually, telling his agent, I told you I didn't want to make more than Brady. Condon ultimately apologized. He called Manning's wife, who said, I'll take care of it, and then persuaded Manning to take the deal. So he is making more than Tom Brady. After disappointing playoff.
Yeah, you know, she looking like, nigga, what? What do you mean?
By the way, he called his wife.
Yeah, on the low, that's a smooth move.
It is smart.
He like, you know what? If I call the wife, we all know that she will be like, now listen, Peyton, I heard what you said. And I don't care how you feel, I'll take the 1.4 extra million off your hands.
I sure will.
So if you want to feel like you make an 18 million, go ahead. Cause Giselle ain't taking none of, Tom's money, but I'm taking some of yours. So I put 1.4 million to the side for vacations and shit. You just
with
shut
no it. Problem.
You just go out there and keep your neck right. I was going to read this article about Johnny Manziel, but the only thing I want to say is it won. Nigga came out there in some motherfucking cargo pants that was fucking camouflage, had rap music blasting, ran around a broom, throwing footballs, and somehow his draft stock went up. If that would have been.
I thought he had pads on.
I know he had on cargo pants, camouflage. If he was playing rap music too. Nigga, if that would have been Cam.
You'd have never heard the end of it.
If that would have been RG3. That would have been Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Nigga, they draft stock would have plummeted.
They might not be in the league right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, they'd be like, he's undraftable. He got gang affiliations. He came out in some gang pants. He was running from a gang affiliated broom. He was throwing gang affiliated passes, listening to gang affiliated music. Yeah.
You know what else though?
Yeah.
His college coach will have a job in the NFL soon. If he wants it.
If he wants it, yeah.
And it will be to manage Johnny Manziel. Cause any other coach he getting fired, they gonna get fired.
Yeah.
You know, any coach he has is gonna get fired.
Mm-hmm. They gonna have to go get something.
Right. And he's going to be like, so you want me to be the head coach of the team? No. We're going to give you some assistant position, but mainly your job is to do what you did with Manziel in college.
Yeah, I'm straight. You sure you don't want to come? Nah, I'm straight. What if it is a head coach position? Nah, I'm good on that too. I got him out of here. Okay. I did my time. y'all go deal with that shit. You know what I got tired of doing? Come to the press conference, talk about Johnny football and not Texas A&M football.
Because how many years did he have, Manziel? 3 years, right?
Yeah.
He did a great job.
A great
3 years of Manziel and not losing his job.
And he barely held it in this last year. Because Johnny was out there losing and he was doing stupid shit.
But he almost lost his job during the summer when football wasn't going on.
Right. It's like, why? Because they was blaming him for shit Johnny did. Why is he at these parties? What?
He's not even in school. Yeah. He's not even in session right now.
He's at home.
He's thousands of miles away from me. Why? What the fuck are we talking about here, people?
I don't know what kind of parties he goes to. What the fuck am I supposed to do with this?
Well, why did he leave the Manning camp early from out drinking the night before?
Did he have a hangover? I don't know.
We'll have to ask his parents because he was at home.
Do y'all want
to
know about our incoming freshman tonight? Why am I here? Johnny Football is trying to trademark Johnny Football, which I'm surprised the NCAA hasn't done already. Shame. And other trademarks like the house that Johnny built.
Man, he is about his money.
Yeah. Yes, and that's why I'm 100% on his side. Fuck them niggas. Make your money, son.
And he probably will have a cargo pants endorsement soon.
He prepared. Yes, he will. I hope he does.
I like that he's preparing for success.
Because in the thing about Johnny Manziel that scared NCAA, he told them, nigga, I make y'all money. What are we talking about here?
If I was him, I would also trademark if I fucked up. Like, who's Johnny?
Yeah.
He said.
Yeah. You might as well make all the money you can.
Johnny fuck up. Like, oh man, sell these shirts too. Chris Culliver for the Niners faces 5 charges after alleged hit and run.
He still got a job?
Chris
the Niners?
Chris Culliver, yeah, apparently.
Damn it, Deshaun.
Charge of felony hit and run, felony reckless driving with injury,
I bet he's a great teammate.
Felony possession.
That's all the standard that we gotta have. You can punch a wife, you can rape bitches, as many bitches as you want, have lawsuits. It don't matter.
But
you know,
gotta learn how to pat somebody on the ass after the touchdown.
Yeah, you can hit somebody and kill them and still keep your job.
Felony possession of brass knuckles, misdemeanor hit and run, misdemeanor driving under suspended license. He was booked into the Santa Clara County Jail. The 49ers organization is aware of the recent matter involving Chris Culliver. The team said in a statement, we will remain in contact with Chris and the local authorities as we continue to gather the facts regarding the situation. As this is an ongoing legal matter, we will reserve further comment at this time. So he struck a bicyclist at 10:21 a.m.
Good luck, bro.
I don't think you heard him. He struck a bicyclist at 10:21 a.m.
That's why I said good luck. No, it was all sarcasm.
Oh.
All yeah. Sarcasm.
God damn. Good luck.
Because, first of all, we already know.
Who is people in the morning?
We know who was out cycling in the morning at 10.
White dude or white woman.
Oh, right. Yeah. They were white.
Good luck, bro.
Guess the race.
At San Francisco? Good luck, bro.
He was then blocked by a witness before Culliver's car struck the witness's vehicle. However, the witness's vehicle was able to block a man on a nearby street and wait for police to arrive. Police said brass knuckles were found in his car during the search. The victim suffered minor injuries. It was released from the scene.
Them folks is white.
Who carries brass knuckles in 2014?
I didn't know they made those anymore.
I bet you they were shiny too. Got brand new brass knuckles. I got a reason for it.
Get out of my way for you get a knuckle sandwich. Yesterday coming
he
from
pulled,
the,
he pulled him out of his glove compartment just for this occasion.
Yesterday when I was leaving the Y, I played basketball at lunch. I was leaving the YMCA. I had my music up. Like, I turned my windows down. I was listening to some Childish Gambino and shit, enjoying the sunlight. Some white dude pulled up next to me when I was leaving the Y and he was just yelling at me. I couldn't hear a word he was saying. So I was just looking at him like, I don't understand what you're talking about. And he was just going off and I just leaned down and turned my music up louder. Man, that pissed that dude off, man.
He was probably complaining about your music in the first place.
Yeah, I don't know what he was saying, but I was just like, I said, huh? What? Tuesday afternoon.
Damn it, man. Now we're going to be banned from the YMCA. No more black people.
Yeah.
Well, wait, let me refer to you might be banned because right. You're kind of dark.
Yeah, they won't associate it with you.
Just in light.
Police said brass knuckles were found in his car, so he made waves to lead up to Super
Bowl. You think he had a brass knuckle case that he cracked open just for this occasion?
I don't know.
Are they illegal? Like, they brought it up like brass knuckles are illegal or something.
Felony possession of brass knuckles, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they are a weapon, but you know, it's a shame. Now, how much sense does this make? You get charged for a felony for brass knuckles, but you can buy a fucking sword.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Man, here's the issue. Y'all are the ones that had an issue with the sword. Apparently the law doesn't, and maybe you guys need to reverse this thinking and invest in swords.
Never.
Stop trying to read the article, right?
Culver made waves leading up to Super Bowl, the latest one, when he said that he wouldn't accept an openly gay teammate.
Uh-oh.
He later He later apologized and reached out to the local LGBT community.
Aww.
I hope he didn't reach out with them brass knuckles. I like to reach out to some of you fags, homos, and queers. Come over here and who want to be first to get a knuckle sandwich?
You think when he saw the cyclist butt in the air, going pedaling down the road, he got enraged?
Maybe that's what it was.
Look at this guy.
Did he try to drive off, try to hit it and run? that's just crazy that, you know, that karma coming back for your ass. Speaking of karma, can I give Justin a round of applause?
Thank you.
You know, sometimes we break things here on Balls D Sports before the media even is ready. What we do is we prognosticate, guys. We predict. We think about the future, and we come up with bold new strategies. Justin said Ray Rice should just go ahead and marry that woman. And he wouldn't even be mad at Janae Palmer if she had to come up, and this is all part of her plan to get married now, get half of his money. Friday, after we did the show, Ray Rice hit stop, went to the Justice of Peace.
Smart man.
They are married now. The wedding had been planned for weeks, apparently, but former Bills and former Patriots linebacker Brandon Spikes thinks it's just an attempt on Rice's part to rehabilitate his image.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Spikes says, wait, Ray Rice got married Friday night. Are you kidding? To the same woman? Wowzers. That's him trying to save his image. Duh. When I saw the video, I kind of got mad a little bit, shaking my head. I don't see how anyone can respect him. Put your hands on a woman that had your child. Hashtag eye contact.
Goddamn.
That's cold. That's so cold.
Is he trying to be serious or is he joking now? Because now I don't know. He confused me with the hashtag.
Is he trying to say his fist contacted her eye?
That type of eye contact?
Someone should choke him out, see how he likes it. If you think the things I say out loud are bad, you should hear the things I keep to myself. Hashtag wild one. The Ravens do not play the Bills during the regular season, but the full preseason schedule has yet to be released. But what is he going to do?
Yeah, Ray Rice a little dude.
Going to get tackled like everybody else that fuck with Brandon Spikes?
I'm not saying shit to Brandon Spikes.
Has everybody seen Ray Rice's last year? It was not like anybody scared of him. He got to go out there and prove his shit all over again.
Yeah, he could barely pick up an unconscious woman.
Yeah,
like, with trouble. He dropped in the
elevator. He might have been intoxicated, but either way.
But yeah, man, they married now. So Justin, you hit it right. Bill Self is disappointed by Nadir Tharp's boobsy photo. I'll put this in the chat.
And who is that?
He is a college basketball player, and Bill Self is his coach. People want to see the photo that he should be ashamed of.
Jealous?
Yeah, I don't know.
This nigga ain't got no draws.
I don't know why he should be ashamed, though.
Yeah, he out here getting this pink.
Kansas junior point guard Nadir Tharp has been floating around this picture. We got it sent on Saturday, and we were told that it had already been circulating for days. Bill Self has seen it, too. He's not too pleased. Speaking of the press conference announcing Andrew Wiggins to leave for the NBA draft, Self was asked about the Tharp photo. He said this: obviously, we are aware it had it brought to our attention this weekend. Certainly extremely disappointed with what transpired and the judgment that went along with it. To say anything else publicly would be something that would be inappropriate at this time. It will be handled internally. It will be addressed and it will be handled internally.
If he's going to the pro, why the fuck does it matter?
Apparently.
This dude not.
Okay.
It appears to be taken in Jayhawks Tower student housing. So.
I mean, how can you tell where the fuck is that? It's so fucking dark.
Yeah, maybe they could tell by the white girl. They know her.
Apparently so.
So he mad because he got some pink toe, or is he mad of the actual photo?
Maybe he's mad because he's naked.
Yeah, because this nigga got no pants on or drawers.
I mean, all I'm looking at is her titty. I don't even know how anybody else notices anything else.
I thought you said it first, but okay.
I did.
No, that was Karen.
Yeah, that's me. Because I noticed
when Karen said it.
I know y'all just looking at her titties.
I've seen this picture before. I was looking at them titties.
Yeah,
and I was looking at the whole picture, and I went down, and it actually shows.
Wait, who removed the picture?
Oh, Roger.
I was still looking.
Because I looked down, and I was like, this nigga ain't got no drawers on.
I was still looking at her titties. Is the coach mad? Like,
because he butt naked.
Man, we're going to deal with it internally. What you want? What do you want?
Because the sure didn't have no issues with her titties.
Pretty sure he already dealt with her internally.
Yeah. It's probably the coach's like niece or somebody like that. That's what he really mad about. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it looks consensual. He's taking proof. He doesn't want to have anything happen like that happened down in Florida State.
Yeah, well, at least it wasn't a picture with his dick in her mouth. That's what I would have done.
Oh, Lord.
I'm saying, like, that picture don't really
mean
anything.
If they're going to get upset about that, huh?
Yeah. Why don't nobody upset about her? Why her parents don't say they upset?
Yep.
Derek Mason, there's a mural celebrating him, and it had to be redone. Let me see if I can play this article or not. But
this has been, hitting this one since 1992. It's been, this makes 22 years. A bunch of irate phone calls wanting to paint out Coach Franklin. Let's put Coach Mason.
Okay. Why isn't this a news article? God damn it.
Who are these guys?
What do you mean?
Baseball stuff.
Yeah, like what?
You mean who was Derek Mason? He's the Vanderbilt football coach.
Oh, football?
Yeah. They put his face on a mural. Updated at the petition, that for the NAA, like for, Vanderbilt. And it was like all the sports is like, you know, the baseball coach, the football coach, the basketball coach.
Okay.
I'll put the picture in the chat, see if you guys can see why they need to repaint it. But, the black man in the picture, they decided, to repaint.
Oh, my.
Oh, see, I didn't see this picture. I saw the other picture when I was looking at your screen.
Yeah, they decided to repaint this picture. I wonder why. Why do y'all think they repainted it?
The one guy didn't have
like
a V.
Uncle Ben.
He didn't have a V.
Okay, he didn't have a V. That's a good point. That must be it.
That has to be.
He looked like Uncle Ben. Look at them big bubble lips.
The picture costs $2,500, which I say, hey, you get what you pay for.
You should do. Pay somebody to make him look like a real black person.
Should have paid Banksy. The subject of the mural first came up when the Vanderbilt NAACP event, Blacks in the Media, took place at the completion of the painting February 18th. What a surprise for them. Yeah, man, Blacks in the Media, man. You know, we're going, what is that? What the fuck
is
that?
That's a terrible drawing.
We realized it was very reminiscent of the minstrelsy era when in which black people's skin was darkened and their lips were made whiter in order to exaggerate the race, in order to put them in sharp contrast with the white race. In the mural, his skin is black, not brown, and his lips are white. It doesn't look like him.
I mean,
and
this
it don't
is,
look like a natural person.
This is Nashville. I imagine they got someone from Nashville to do this. I don't know why they would expect different.
Now I'm gonna put a picture of his real self in the chat. And you guys tell. Oh, why didn't this picture work? Is this showing a picture of y'all?
Yes.
Yep. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, this is his
real.
Oh,
he don't look nothing like that. Oh my God! They painted him like four shades darker. they didn't pick the mocha crayon.
This is like a completely different person.
It is.
That first dude looked like how they used to make the people look older in Roots.
Yeah.
And this dude,
he'd be.
This dude looked like Roof's Generations.
Spit shining your shoes.
Everybody was light skinned. Everybody was light skinned on Roof's Generations.
Yeah.
Queens.
They got.
Yeah, he tapped in. So, all right.
They got Jasmine Guy on Roof's Generation. Like, you know, they went and got light skin.
Whatever Queen. Y'all want down there, boss.
Oh, man. This dude, I would not let the dude in the original painting coach my son.
No.
You know, maybe we'll get your boy down here to Vanderbilt.
Yeah, have all them
coach
kids.
Coach him on up.
But have all why, them kids protesting.
But why when they redid the painting, they didn't just redo a better image of the coach, though?
Even if they made him
Well, better. They're going to. They haven't redone it yet. This is just the beginning stages where they covered it up. And there was another picture.
Show that picture. Show the cover up. I don't know if you can screenshot
it. I can't.
The cover up looks like a potato chip bag.
Yeah.
And the place of where the coach is at.
Yeah, it
and
just says, coming soon, Coach Derek Mason. It just covers where his
not
face
coming
is
coming soon.
I feel bad for this white man who painted this, because chances are he just don't know how to paint black people.
That's what I'm saying. Whoever drew it, you can tell that they were not used to drawing black people.
I don't imagine he has many black friends either. Like
what if he repainted it as worse? Like, he make the lips red. And he put like a bow tie under him, make the eyes bigger.
Make the eyes yellow.
Yeah, make the eyes yellow.
And you know, and
he had a thought bubble and shit. I sure likes the coach.
Imagine how big he makes the lips though this time around.
Right.
Oh, I hope like he don't make it worse.
Like he thinned them out, but imagine him like the dude from Bubba, Forrest Gump.
Forrest Gump, yeah. Karen, what were you gonna say?
No, I was saying, and what does, when he was drawing it, did he be like, and what do the Negroes look like? Anybody got a picture around here?
He probably stood back and admired his work at joy and even told his friends to come check out what he did. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he didn't have nobody tell him, dog, that might be offensive.
I was a bison to this defense. Like, I was a bison to a piece of chicken.
It's been there for 22 years. Didn't you say it was there for 22 years?
No, 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 no.
I'm about to say that picture was there for 22 years.
No, it was not there for 22 years.
Well, what did you say? You said it's been there for 22 years.
I've been painting on this mural for 22 years. Every time that I worked a portrait of a coach, I've always had a chance to meet the coach. In this particular instance, I never got a chance to meet Coach Mason, and the only thing I had to go off was a photograph sent to me by Vanderbilt Athletics.
What picture did they send him? Oh my God. They sent him an Uncle Ben's rice.
And was like, this is exactly what he looks like. You sure he look like Uncle Ben? Yeah, he look just like
Uncle Ben.
They
sent him a picture of Mr. Popo from Dragon Ball Z. He was like, that's close enough.
who sent that picture? He looked like Chef from South Park.
Right. They sent him a picture of Louis Armstrong from album cover and shit.
He said, why isn't this a color photo? They sent him a black and white picture.
Of course they did.
He looked like the dude from In the Heat of the Night.
Yes.
Tibbs.
He looked like Tibbs, dog.
Oh, my God. What?
Dude, this is so racist.
His own university sent that picture over.
Yeah.
That can't be the photo you have is not the photo they sent over.
The artist said the lighting of the photograph created a much darker setting than the others that since Ceno Mason. I would sign the petition based just on that difference, he said, but that is not what was sent to me, and that's not what I painted. Everybody during the entire process is incredibly supportive. Everybody was very pleased as what was painted. So this all just comes as a surprise.
Is you painting him four shades?
No, Karen. Because black people didn't see it until the NAACP showed up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no black. All the white people was like, that's pretty good. That's how they all look to me. Close enough.
But come on. You know, after they painted the mural, the coach went down to see what he looked like on the mural.
And he said, I'm going to call the NAACP.
Did he just hang his head?
Go on a tour. Why don't we go by my mural, guys? Check it out.
Okay. Have them get outraged about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it don't look like he's correcting it.
Yeah.
Smart man.
Jenkins said from the NAACP, there was never once a thought in my mind that he did this on purpose. But the problem is not understanding American history because it's not just a black history issue.
Yeah, I don't think he did it on purpose, but it still looks terrible.
The Vanderbilt NAACP said it twice reached out to Cooper, who painted Mason's face over the face of former football coach James Franklin. So wait, he could just, I guess that's why he's been working on 22 years. When they change coaches, he just go up there and change it.
Yep.
Because Cooper did not respond, the group started the petition. It never happens to me, so to have something like that happen, I thought it was shocking as far as what they sent, Cooper said. So I choose basically no comment. I didn't want to get involved in any of this. Cooper, who has been a professional artist in Nashville area for 25 years, said he has been in contact with Vanderbilt in hopes of meeting Coach Mason before beginning revisions. I like how he used that as an excuse, like, it's because I never met him in person. Like, that's really why you couldn't tell that he wasn't a black caricature.
Can you put the mural back in the chat?
Put the mural back in? Yeah. Okay, hold on. Give me 1 second, guys. That's why you couldn't tell,
he was watching, Tom and Jerry cartoons. That's the only time he's seen black people on Tom and Jerry cartoons.
If I would have met him, I would have been like, Thomas! That's what he should have put, a thought bubble coming out of his face. Thomas! Oh man, that's so good. All right, let me move to the next story. We've got so many more stories. Deion Sanders got caught lying. Did y'all hear about this?
Yep.
No.
Yeah, he got caught lying, man. I don't know why he lied, but he went on the radio. Here we go.
Yahoo Sports Minute is presented by Nationwide Insurance.
Yahoo Sports Nationwide is on your side. Come on now.
Hey everyone, I'm Angela Sun. Welcome to the Yahoo Sports Minute. Deion Sanders was a guest on the Tom Joyner Morning Show to discuss DeSean Jackson's move to the Redskins. But it was Primetime's description of Johnny Manziel that stood out.
I love Johnny Football. See, the reason people don't want to accept Johnny Football because Johnny Football has ghetto tendencies. I love Johnny Football.
He's got ghetto tendencies.
I love Johnny Football.
What a ghetto tendencies, Primetime.
Yeah, because he was successful. He made it, and he let y'all know he made it. And he was cocky. He was flamboyant. Yeah. And he lets you know.
When Sanders' ghetto tendencies line about the Heisman Trophy winner was pointed out on Twitter by Robert Latall, Deion flatly denied
that tall.
But Prime, there's audio proof you said it. There's even a transcript of the radio interview on host Roland Martin's website. The segment with Sanders wrapped up when he was asked if the Houston Texans should select Johnny Football with the first pick in next month's NFL draft. Deion's reply was priceless. Quote, man, they better, because he'll fill the stadium, unquote. It's now time for our nation.
All right, I don't care about that.
Oh, so he said it and then turned around and said he didn't say it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like he wasn't on national radio.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people couldn't go back and hear Tom join the morning show at any time.
Some lies are just stupid, and I can't respect them because they're stupid. This is one of those stupid
Deion
ass lies.
Deion been drinking the white man's Kool-Aid too long, man. And because
you sure
this,
with them ghetto tendencies?
But this is the reason why. Right, because he was out here calling them ghetto and things like that. But when Richard Sherman was being loud and flamboyant, he was saying that's not needed in the game. This is football. Mm-hmm. That's not what we do in football. And he needs to have some humility about himself. Like, make up your mind. Like, you want to, like, Manziel, it's okay to be flamboyant and do all those things. But Sherman, nope, you got to tone it down.
Not to mention the same dude that poured water on a reporter's head in the locker room and told him he need to cool out. So, let's be honest. Deion ain't exactly the best role model.
Mm-mm.
A reporter said that he would quit if the Redskins got DeSean Jackson. And so he didn't quit.
Of course not. He got bills to pay.
Mm-hmm.
But
why would you make a statement?
But they should let him go. If they can let him go without having to pay him workman's comp.
What does DeSean Jackson got the fuck to do with you?
You know, these dudes go on the air and they have to be hyperbolic to try to stir shit up for the general masses. And Joe fucking six pack who calls in and says a bunch of stupid shit. I won't even root for the Redskins if they get this black person to ask gang affiliations.
Yeah.
How am I gonna root for my racist team when I'm racist? And then the host of the show ends up being like, yeah, I quit my job if they get DeSean Jackson.
Cause he didn't think he was coming now.
Well, not just that, cause it makes ratings for Friday. And then Monday you go, wow, that was stupid. I'm not quitting shit.
Of course he not.
But they should look to replace him.
Yeah, I think they should get rid of him no matter what.
Yeah, don't say dumb shit.
You made a promise. We wouldn't feel comfortable not letting you man up and not have your job.
So, Rod, I got a question though. So if I have gang ties, are you gonna fire me?
You my nigga, dog.
You gonna cut me from the team?
First of all, I assume you did have gang ties.
I mean, publicly known, if I was public.
Yeah, I don't care. But if I got rid of you off the show, I would release the information about your gang ties.
Oh, okay.
See what I'm saying?
Not the fact that I come in late.
Right, and
they
cuss me out and try to start drama between me and my wife.
Not my green Eminem demands.
Yeah, yeah, I wouldn't release that. Oh, okay. You know, I'll let Karen anonymously report that.
Okay.
J.R. Smith wanted to drop a public service announcement on Twitter.
Uh-oh.
He said, if you mad that your chick follows me, that's a sign of hashtag insecure male, hashtag get over it. 9 times out of 10, I don't want her anyway. Brianna Nicole said, lies with JR, LOL. He said, no facts. I'll let y'all think it. I think you meant no facts, you know, like just facts.
Well, yep.
Anyway. And JR Smith also said, Why her when I can have my pick of the litter? Hashtag think about it. So,
and just this to let y'all know. Breaking news because?
Because this is what we cover here on Balls D Sports. Don't question the articles. Yeah. come on the show and try to question our coverage of this article. This is breaking news because it's J.R. Smith talking about Hoe Control.
What?
This is one of the main things that we cover here at Balls D Sports.
My bad.
Is Hoe Control, and this man is exhibiting it.
Yeah, before you said that, I was going to be like, because it relates us to the reason why Raymond Felton got gun charges right now.
Right.
And is in the process of getting a divorce.
This is the man that Raymond Felton gets his love advice from, and now he's trying not to get charges because of it.
And Raymond Felton tried that same thought process at home. What you mean? Right. And that's why this is relevant. Now we piece it together that way. I can't speak as to what other, sports reporters might do, but all of this leads to, like, I bet you Raymond somewhere right now trying to decide is it J.R. Smith's fault he going through this?
Mm-hmm.
Should he go hang out with J.R. Smith again?
Right.
Or,
should we call him up and see what's up with these hoes? Or,
yeah.
You know, is that just going to lead to his wife finding the cocaine and taking that to the police? Like, what's he supposed to do?
Yeah, and that's what he's dealing with right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Smith somewhere smoking weed with Raymond Felton friends, telling them that they need to get with a better NBA player to hang out with.
Exactly. Chris Maziello. Never graduated from University of Kentucky. He's the Manhattan basketball coach. He was trying to get the South Florida job, and he got eliminated when they found out he was lying on his resume.
Which is odd. Whoever wants to go to Florida, you need to be trying to escape from Florida.
My thing is this. If you're aiming for certain positions, do Am I the only one that think that people check fucking backgrounds? If you're aiming for a position, don't you think somebody somewhere is going to check for this shit?
But it's because you're black, Karen. You
that's true.
You're used to people checking your background and not taking and your word on things.
May I see your ID? Is this really you? But I'm assuming people just do this for so long. People just take people's word. They don't go check shit. Then when they do, they get fired. Everybody's shocked. They're like, motherfucker, don't lie about it.
See, like, you used to people running your credit, like, yes. All those things. Like, you're right, because you're not white, Karen.
Oh, my bad.
If you were white, you would be able to go purchase things without credit checks. You people aren't going to run your background. They're going to take your word for it. you're gonna shake hands on deals, and it's done.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Bad. But people pull out contracts. Like, I need you to sign here. We're going to copy this in triplet. And
it's a pretty impressive lie, because Ricky Three Stack said he was surprised. And that motherfucker would be lying like shit. he's like, he was on track to graduate. I don't know what happened.
Did he just not follow up? But like, well, I didn't officially graduate because I owe money. Like, that's like, if he followed up with that, he'd have been okay.
A man named Rayshon Tate has filed a lawsuit in Brooklyn federal court alleging that he was called homophobic slurs by several members of the Houston Rockets while he helped cater the Rockets locker room during a game against the Brooklyn Nets. February 22nd, 2013. Now that's ironic. So they were playing against the team with the gay player. Then in the locker room they got served and the gay dude was there and they said, hey, this would be an appropriate time to be homophobic.
Out of all the times to pull out that car.
Tate, a gay man who was at the time an employee of a catering company owned by Levi Restaurant Holdings, alleges in his suit that he entered the Rockets locker room to help set up the team's buffet. He was called a faggot by the players from the suit. While the plaintiff's back was turned to defended Rockets players, he began to hear laughter and taunting voices saying, get this faggot out of here. He's trying to catch a sneaky peeky. These series of comments were repeated a number of times by defendant Rockets players and staff. Plaintiff could hear defendant Rocket players overlapping voices and laughter.
Which ones, though? Name some names.
Yeah.
The lawsuit claims the incident was witnessed by a member of the Nets staff who is in charge of the visiting team's locker room, and they told Tate to just leave, assuring him that he would take care of it. The suit also says that Tate informed the supervisor at the catering company of the incident. The suit claims that the news of the incident reached several people within the Nets organization, along with higher-ups at the catering company and Tate's union. Tate claims that he received a formal apology from the Nets Senior Vice President of Human Resources and was told all relevant entities were notified of the incident. Tate is suing the Rockets as well as Levi Restaurant Holdings. The suit claims that after informing his employer of the incident, Tate was assigned catering gigs that did not pay very well and was barred from working in locker rooms. Tate alleges that he was being discriminated against because of his sexual orientation because he came forward about the alleged incident with the Rockets. The whole lawsuit is embedded below. I'm not reading it all, but yeah, that's crazy, man.
I hope you get that money if it's true.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And if it's not true, damn it, man.
And how the fuck could you not? First of all, you know it's true. Because if they wrote an apology and probably lied and said, we told everybody, but you know, if they wrote an apology, it's probably true. But the fact that these niggas went to play the team with the one gay dude and couldn't go, this is probably the wrong time. Because this is a big story, February 22nd.
Well, yes, I thought you said 2013, so I don't know if he was on the team.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I thought I said 2014. Mm-mm. Okay, yep, you're right. But it's still stupid.
Yeah, no, either way, it's stupid. Yeah,
I thought 2014, it was even stupider, but it's still dumb.
The thing is, I'm glad he's not suing Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll be like, get the fuck out of here. Like, we support, you know, homosexuals. Like, we not tripping on you. So I'm glad it's specific towards, the team and towards, that company. And the other thing is, I hope ownership has to pay for it because, like, you know, we always talk about the culture, mm-hmm. their ownership and how they're the leaders and they get they cue from them.
If they have to pay for it, it won't happen again.
Ever.
Yep.
Cause they gonna come down there and be like, if I ever catch you motherfuckers costing me money again with this bullshit, keep your fucking homophobic views to yourself and don't embarrass our team anymore. As long as you're here, you won't do it.
And that's why I hope they have to pay for it, because even though Jason Collins came out, it's still, you know, he's the only one so far. And I hope by them having to pay for that and ownership saying, no, this is not our culture, it might breed other people to feel comfortable to come out, knowing that they will be supported and ownership will have to come out of their pockets.
Money. Yeah, I agree with you. When people start losing money, especially white folks, when white folks start losing money, shit, bullshit changes.
And isn't Kevin McHale the coach of them?
I don't know. Probably. Mm-hmm.
Good luck.
Brandon Ayamba Dejo said he got traded from Miami because he took paternity leave. He missed two games to be there for the birth of his son. And then he said the Mets, apparently, what? The Mets?
That well, happened
Daniel,
with the Mets player.
Okay, Daniel Murphy also missed two games for his son, Boomer Esiason, and the motherfuckers on the radio, and basically said he shouldn't have took paternity leave. And they later apologized. Boomer Esiason, how fucking dare you? Because, like, that dude made a huge deal about the fact that his son had, like, special developmental issues and shit, and, like, had charities and raised awareness. Now you're going to tell another man not to take fatherhood seriously?
You know what he told him? He said his wife should have had a C-section.
C-section, and, yeah, like, take care of that so I can get back to work. Like, come on, dude. Stop.
And not only that, it's 2 days. Like, that's not even enough time.
Right. That's what happens, though, when you get on the air, like, with these fucking sports personalities, man. Like, we do a lot of tongue-in-cheek joking on the show, and that's cool. But they don't try to say, we're joking. Mm-mm. This is me being crazy right now. Like, they are serious. Like, get that C-section. Get your ass back to work. What's the problem? It's like, yeah, that might be a problem, Boomer.
Yeah, to a woman that's listening.
Yeah.
And to a man that's listening going, I got a wife. I took maternity leave when my wife had her child.
Yeah, because he might actually fucking care about his family.
Right, especially when you care so much about your family. Like you said, I'm very grateful to my many friends over at the March of Dimes who graciously reached out and re-educated me that if a pregnancy is healthy, it is medically beneficial to let the labor begin on its own rather than schedule a C-section for convenience. In fact, babies born just a few weeks early have double the risk of death compared to babies born a full 39 weeks full of pregnancy.
And a lot of this, and which really, very, really, really frustrates me, when it comes to women's health, period, and even some women, people act like they are fucking ignorant and they don't know how women's bodies function. Of course, it's better to have a baby naturally than to go,
you know what
against
else?
against the natural birth of a child.
You know what else? It's not even about women. This is while women are also obviously a casualty in this and mm-hmm. probably the most hurt by this attitude, quote unquote.
Yes,
it's really a swipe at men.
True.
Oh, you want to take time off to be a father? Nah, you're a football player. You're a baseball player. The fuck you doing trying to be a father? That ain't cool.
Right.
That's what women do is raise babies. You as a man, you don't raise babies. You go to work. The end.
And he, it's so asinine. Like, dog, it's the birth of your child.
Right.
Like, that's a special moment in your life. Like, you've been waiting 9 months or however long for this process. You know what I mean? Like, you want to be there. And even if it seems like a healthy pregnancy, you never know when that child is coming out, what could happen. And could you imagine something happening and you had to wait a fucking game?
Right.
Because that is more important than your family.
There will be another game. There will never be another birth of your child.
And on top of
your
that.
Your child, you can't put it back in the pussy. Like, put them back in. We'll do this tomorrow.
We'll start all over again.
Yeah. Take two.
Yeah.
And action.
Can you just hold on till I get out this game, baby?
And I think for me, the thing about it is that, because the dude talking, he retired, right? He's no longer plays.
Not even baseball.
Right, he played football.
So he don't even understand the complexity of a baseball season.
Right.
Wow.
And they play way more games.
100.
Baseball.
They play like 130. Yeah.
Like if you miss almost 200 games. You'll be okay. It'll be okay. What are you going to say, Karen? Sorry.
No, and my thing is this. After football, you have nothing left but your family. Mm-hmm. Like once you stop playing, and guess what? Children remember dad missing birthdays, dad mm-hmm. missing holidays. Like, children remember this shit when they get older. I don't know why people think children just erase that because you plan.
Well,
kids don't give a fuck about your job.
In all fairness, they won't remember the birth. But you're right about other shit.
But your wife will.
Because this attitude does, right, your wife will, and this attitude does extend to other shit. Because
yes.
If you can make this argument about a birth, why not a birthday? And Why not, prom? Why not
a first recital?
Right. Why not all this shit?
And I heard somebody saying it's not like it was a Super Bowl.
Even if it was,
Super Bowl, like you said, right? I can't put my child back inside her vagina and be like, look, hold off till about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And I'll be there. All right. Make that happen.
And also, I think a lot of this, a lot of people who he was talking to agree with him. There are so many men and women, but a lot of men who have that old school kind of mentality. Because y'all are kind of new school. A lot of old school, older men really didn't have relationships with any of their children.
Well, you know what? This is why I don't listen to sports radio.
Yes.
It's because the target demographic seems to be the dumb frat guy, jock, knucklehead of about 40 years old. Like, not even the young 20-year-old dude, but like the 40-year-old white dude that goes to work, hates his job, hates his kids,
hates his wife.
He uses sports as an outlet, and most of the time he uses it as an outlet for anger.
Yes, he does.
And this is the kind of shit they do. You go on a big ass rant about, in my day, we wouldn't have did that. And it's like, yeah, well, your day was fucking wrong. How about that? Yep. And that's what this is. This is a case of your day, back in your day, if you're telling the truth, which you're probably not, in your day, this would have been fucking stupid.
On another note, she knew his work schedule and probably should have induced labor sooner. I think she's a little insensitive to his career.
Missouri basketball player reportedly arrested twice in one day. Zach Price, who plays basketball for Missouri, was arrested twice in one day. He was involved in a dispute with a 23-year-old male roommate and a 23-year-old female. Followed them from the area of Heather Lane and Ash Street to the area of Stadium Boulevard and blocked in their vehicle with his own vehicle, preventing them from leaving the area.
Now guess the race.
The statement said that Price exited the vehicle, struck the male victim in the face with a closed fist. The other victim attempted to intervene and was pushed to the ground by Price. One of the victims tried to spray Price with mace. Both victims were said to sustain minor injuries as a result of Price's actions. The university announced in a statement Price, a transfer from Louisville, had been suspended. Hours later, Price was arrested again, though the charges for the second arrest haven't been released.
His name is Price. Zach Price. Never met a black guy named Zach, though. Shocked to see he actually is black. Like, that's shocking to me.
Mm-hmm.
You think he was upset because his woman was cheating on him with the roommate? That's why he chased him and then punched that dude in the face?
Followed him around?
Like, that's some angry she cheating on me. I need to find where she at type shit. You know what I'm saying?
She was ride or die, though.
Yeah, did he play Walking in the Rain in the background?
Yeah, I saw you with that coat. And don't touch that coat!
And I never be the same. You know how much I love you, girl. I love you so much. I followed you today.
Man, he got arrested twice in the same day.
Now close your mouth because you've been cold
busted.
Yeah, I gotta play that now.
I saw you. That's my jam right there.
Walking in the rain.
Yes, that Kelly coat wearing punk.
Man, he went to jail twice over her.
Let me get to the talking.
Hey, baby, how you doing?
Here you go.
Aren't you done?
Hey, baby, how you doing? Come on in here. Got some hot chocolate in the stove waiting for you. Listen, first things first, let me hang up that coat. Yeah, nice day today. Did you miss me? You did. Yeah, I missed you too. I missed you so much.
This is playing in the background.
I missed you too. I missed you so much. I followed you today.
This was playing when he
now
was
close your mouth because you've been cold busted.
He did. Yeah, I missed you too. I missed you so much. I followed you today.
I paused right there, right?
Now close your mouth because you cold busted.
Yeah. The thing is, he doesn't sound like he's still angry about it anymore, which is scary. Because he passed the anger stage into psychotic.
Right. Now you're gonna punch this dude in the face.
Is this woman that this true song about, is she still alive?
I don't know. I think so. He let her live at the end.
Because we know this is I mean, you have to.
You don't have to. I mean, he already putting his business in the street.
Because we know this is a true story. Like, this ain't something he just made up.
Yeah.
This is a true story.
The detail's too rich.
That's right. Now close your mouth, cause you cold busted.
Stop, just stop yelling for 911. Stop screaming for help. My first impulse was to
run up on you and do a Rambo. Run up on you and do a Rambo.
Well, that means he had a knife.
Then he had a gun.
Sword, ratchet. No, Rambo was famous for having a knife.
And that, guns.
And guns.
That big ass knife.
Hopping out that water and shooting everybody. We're about to jam and flat blast both of you. See? You're talking about shooting their ass.
You think he flashed at a gun right there?
Hell
of
yeah.
Of course.
You know what he did? He pulled it out of his jacket and sat it on the table.
Pointed towards her. Yeah. Like the Walking Dead. Make your choice.
That's what Raymond Felt did. Impulse was to run up on you and do a Rambo. We're about to jam and flat blast both of you. I ain't want to mess up this $3,700 Lynx coat. So instead, I chill.
Chill, then I went to the bank, took out every dime.
Cause I am gonna be on the run.
That meant, yes. By the way, that meant when he said he chilled, that meant he smoked some weed.
And a drink. He had a cognac. He
had a couple drinks. Yeah,
some whiskey. Bank, took out every dime. And then we canceled all those credit cards.
Yeah. All your charge counts. Yeah. I stuck you up for every piece of jewelry I ever bought you. That's right, everything.
Everything.
Everything. Get fly with me. Nah, don't go looking in that closet. Cause you ain't got nothing in everything you came here with.
She's trying to hide and lock herself in the closet.
Yeah, and she tried to go in there and see her, get her stuff.
And he was like, nope.
He's like, don't go in that closet. Oh,
this
yeah.
This the edited version.
Yeah, yeah.
This the edited.
Like, that's what we need to do is have a version where she's talking back. You scare me, orange juice. I'm gonna just go in this closet. Nah, don't try to go in that closet.
Cause that's what happened to Pistoria's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
She locked us up in the bathroom.
Right. But he thought it was an intruder, so he shot through the door and then said, "You bitch."
Yep.
Now don't touch that coat. Nah, don't go in that closet. I just wanna go in the closet. I'm just gonna get my stuff. And then everything you came here with is packed up and waiting for you in the guest room. In the guest room.
Why is it not at the door?
Why I gotta go to the guest room?
I still live here, don't I?
That's a trick. She's not gonna make it out their room. That's right. A trick. The suitcases is lined with trash bags, and that's how he gonna get her out of the house.
Right. In the guest room. That's right. What was you thinking about? Huh? I was just walking. That was my brother. We was just holding hands.
I'm sorry, orange juice. Approved. Huh? This with the
juice. Niggas, juice.
That was serious right there.
What you trying to prove, huh?
I bet his eyes got big when he said that.
Nope, he slapped her right out. That's when I'm the juice. slap like that. That's what happened. Trying to prove, huh?
This with the juice. Ouch. I gave you silk suits, Gucci handbags, blue diamonds. I gave you things you couldn't even pronounce. But you don't really got good pronunciation either.
No, did you hear him snort
that
cocaine?
Yeah, he did a lot of coke right there.
right
there. Gave you things you couldn't even pronounce. Gave you things you couldn't even pronounce.
He in the studio doing cocaine.
Yes.
He can't, that's how you know this is real.
No, this is a reenactment. He did cocaine in real life there too.
No, right, but that's what
I'm
saying.
He did it both, like he brought cocaine in the studio. Cause he was like, what else happened when I was there? Oh, that's right. I did a line of coke right here. Can we do this part again? Hold on. Let's get a take two. You was with juice. They couldn't even pronounce. Now I can't give you nothing but advice. Cause you still young. That's right. You still young. I hope you learn a valuable lesson from all this. You know?
How young?
I'm gonna find somebody like me one of these days.
Probably 20s.
High school young?
Early 20s.
Like, no, I'm thinking 15.
Cause he said, cause you young. You still young.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, a lot of pimps get them early.
Oh, my.
Like, he probably went to her high school and was following her around the school.
Oh, I was getting the benefit of the doubt.
That's why we got these laws.
Walking in the rain. Say what, Karen?
I was giving the benefit of the doubt. She was 22, 23.
Nah, she's probably walking in the rain from the school bus.
Oh, shit.
That's why she couldn't pronounce some of the things that he was getting her.
Oh, this fancy. What, this Gucci? It's Gucci, baby. Hope you learn a valuable lesson from all this. You know, I'm gonna find somebody like me one of these days. Until then, you know what you gotta do? You gotta get one out of here with that Alley Cat, Cole Wan, Hush Puppet, Shoe Wan, Crump Cake I saw you with.
cause you dismissed.
Well, can right. Well, can I just get my coat then, Juice? Cause it's cold and it's raining outside.
Silly rabbit tricks are made for kids, did you know that?
Told you.
You without me like cornflake without the milk. It's my world, you're just a squirrel trying to get a nut. Now get on out here.
Well, what about my coat? Oh, can't touch the coat.
Did he said tricks are for kids. Like, mm-hmm. These all... I'm telling you, he's just like, nope, can't mention she's 15. But you know what? Tricks are for kids, so... Right. That goes here. That goes here.
Chris Johnson said he'd get released today. I don't care. Pete Carroll got an extension for Seattle. That makes sense. it was set to expire after the 2014 season. They locked him up with, he signed a deal. He had an original 5-year deal that he signed with the team that was supposed to expire 2014, but he got a 3-year extension. So I guess 2017 now. He's 62 and second oldest head coach in the NFL. That's pretty big news for him.
Yes, that is.
FSU is now investigating the Jameis Winston charges and two teammates in the rape case.
Damn it, man.
Separate. It's not a different case. It's a school investigation instead of the criminal investigation that was done by the police.
Oh, okay.
So there's different details that are coming out that I didn't know. Two of the teammates that involved Chris Casher and Ronald Darby were recently charged with 5 violations of the university's code of conduct, according to the source, who spoke with Deadspin on condition of anonymity because the university proceedings were confidential. Winston doesn't currently face any conduct charges. Like most universities, FSU has a conduct code separate from the municipal criminal system under which students can be sanctioned for misconduct. At Florida State, a student need not be found guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, but merely responsible or not responsible for the misconduct alleged in the charges. Winston allegedly raped the woman at an off-campus apartment in early morning, December 7, 2012, though it was nearly a year before Tallahassee police forwarded the case to the state attorney's office, which decides whether to file criminal charges in the statements given to investigators last year. Casher and Darby both said they witnessed Winston having sex with his accuser. Casher also said he walked into the room to see if the female would agree to allow Casher to participate in sex acts that were occurring. That's a modified sit-in on this one.
I got this, next.
Yeah. He put a quarter down on her ass like a video game console.
He really said that. I feel like this is on Vine comments.
Mm-hmm.
When they showing porn, it's like, let me tag team her, bro.
All right. Mm-hmm. Can I get some of that mouth? Denied.
The Matumbo finger wave. No.
Not this time, brother.
He pulled that Slow Jams commercial joint. My brother, you got to get your own.
He pulled that cord off her forehead and slowly walked away.
He filmed the two of them having sex on his cell phone.
He ain't leave the room. He just shut the door, but he ain't go out.
Yeah, no, you can't have. No, you cannot get none. All right, then.
Can I film it?
Let me just jack off to this footage later. He told investigators he deleted the video and discarded the phone. Both Casher and Darby face FSU charges of conduct of sexual nature that creates an intimidating, hostile, or offensive environment for another person, acts that invade the privacy of another person. Casher faces an additional charge of recording of images without consent. If found responsible in a university hearing, they could receive punishments ranging from a letter of reprimand to expulsion from the university. Casher and Winston's roommate followed... A fellow Alabamian is a reserve defensive end who played in spots last year before sitting out the final 3 games. Darby, a defensive back, was voted to the ACC's Defensive Rookie of the Year in 2012 and had two tackles in the Seminoles title-winning game over Auburn in January. Both are still listed as students and members of the team, but could face interim sanctions while awaiting hearing on their conduct charges. A big question throughout Winston's saga had been whether the university ever held a code of conduct investigation into the allegations as required under Title IX. This is the first evidence that FSU did indeed investigate after the football season was ended in triumph. The criminal case against Winston fell apart in December. We got the FSU had won its regular season schedule when the state attorney investigating the case, Willie Meigs, decided there was insufficient evidence to charge Winston with a crime. In making that announcement, Meigs expressed regret that the university and the local police had not done a thorough enough job of investigating allegations out of the gate.
It was a year before anything was even brought up, of course.
They're using everything they used to for their freedom, they're going to hold it against him. Mm-hmm. But which is all the more reason why that dude from Kansas, his selfie just like, I don't rape bitches.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, she was consensually here.
Like, it's all the more reason why I support more of that.
Mm-hmm. Plus, if you post it online, we could look at him.
True.
On a whole other note, if he really out here raping bitches, yeah, that's not a good look. You need help like Darren Sharper.
But yeah, man, this is still the same incident. I still think I'm still withholding any real judgment. And unless he does get caught up in some more bullshit, then I'll be like, wow, maybe it's a thing.
But I wonder, so is running a train is really, what did he call it? It's a intimidation?
Well, no, I mean, I don't think running a train is. I think he really got in trouble for recording it.
Mm-hmm. After
she said no. Like, when she was like, no, you can't have sex with me. And he then was just like, well, I'm about to record this shit then. Like, that's probably where he got it.
That's not cool. You should just left.
That is intimidating. And, you know, I think.
Jameis was like, she probably was looking at Jameis like, you're not going to do anything about him? Hey, he is old man. Gotta work it out.
Mm-hmm. So I was telling you about this dude who wrote a piece where he was shitting on black sports online.
Mm-hmm.
His name, I guess it was.
Don't say his name. Don't even give him.
Don't give him no credit.
Yeah, don't give him no fucking credit.
All right, then. Apparently, it said, well, the person that the site is, I know on Twitter, I'm cool with him. And I guess a guest person, like a guest columnist, wrote for him.
Okay.
And basically, man, it came off like some hating to me because they basically wrote this whole thing about how they cover gossip on the site and it's not really, you know, hard hitting sports analysis and it's kind of not really presented in the right way. And I could understand some of the critique because, you know, I agree that it's not the most serious quote unquote site, but this is what fans want to hear now.
Yes,
this
is
why TMZ is so big. This is why Deadspin does this. This is why, cause fans don't just want to see numbers and all this shit. We want to know, like, what are the funny stories? What are the crazy things that people get into that, you know? And that tall is good at breaking those stories.
ESPN covers the same stories. They just don't have all the details.
Shit, half the time they get it from him.
True.
You know, we just read a article where someone was like, and Robert Littal asked Deion Sanders this. So, this person, you know, he calls Rob a loser. Said he was claims to be inspired to create Black Sports Online when Joe Buck hated on Randy Moss. Fake moon of the Packers fans back in 2009, according to his own site. Well, I interviewed him, and I do believe that that's what started it.
And what's wrong with that?
Yeah.
I get what he's saying, that he's basically a hypocrite because he posts pictures of black athletes doing embarrassing things, and so therefore, that's the same as Joe Buck. But I don't think so, man. I think, it could be a little bit different than, you know, dissing Randy Moss's entire culture and, you know, kind of coming down on a bunch of young black dudes all the time, which Joe Buck and a lot of white dudes do.
Oh, yes, they do.
Like, oh, you dancing for a touchdown? Well, now I'm going to act like that's the worst thing in the world. I've never seen him do that.
He must have rejected this dude written submissions or something.
Yeah, it's foul, man. And then he ends the article with, I guess everybody's supposed to get mad because he went to a website to see how much money BlackSportsOnline.com was worth, and it's worth $121,000. And he was like, see, I have no problem with you trying to make a buck, but you know, like, once I see how much, now I'm mad. Like, get out that man's pockets.
Ain't that the truth? And ain't you trying to make money too?
Yeah.
If that's the case, why am I reading the article that you wrote?
And why he's still going to his site for his news? If you don't like it or respect it, I don't go to the Charlotte Observer
because
I go to Twitter for my news.
Because they cover things I care about, like how Julius Peppers got two girlfriends and one of them got some tig old bitties. I mean, are we not going to discuss this now? Because Rob talking
news.
About it. I mean, I'm clicking on every one of these pictures to look at this woman's titties.
Can we see these in the chat?
One of them is pregnant.
Damn, she is.
Oh, my.
Julius Peppers got some good taste, man.
There's a lot going on in
I'm actually okay with him having two girlfriends.
Oh, so you changed?
I recant, and I was wrong. It was, what I said was slanderous. And I apologize to you, sir.
He seems to have it well in hand.
You, sir, are winning at life, and I need to sit back and take notes.
He seems to have it well in hand that sometimes well in two hands almost.
I ain't mad.
It's a lot of hands going around.
Mm-hmm.
The more the merrier.
I also think it's weird when people try to hit you with that black respectability bullshit, like, You represent all the black people, so you got to do shit different. Why, nigga?
Why? I got the truth.
I got to, now my shit got to be upstanding because I'm black. Like, black people want to see these women with their thongs on posing for pictures, and they Julius Peppers' girlfriend.
I actually like him more in life now. Like, yeah.
I always liked him. I was mad when he left Charlotte.
I see why he takes it easy on the field. He needs to reserve his athletic acumen for things that matter, like now, getting in these cheeks.
This is a man that clearly has his priorities in order.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what is important and what he needs to accomplish in life. And that is getting two sexy women and keeping a happy home. And who can be mad at that?
Yeah. I think this one woman is Latino. Maybe both of them are. Can't even tell if it's the same woman anymore.
I don't know.
Ooh, I like them flowers.
He has more than one girlfriend.
Oh, yeah. She got a flower in her bathing suit. Pretty, too.
And one of them is pregnant.
And you can understand why.
The other one not pregnant?
Only one of them is pregnant.
As far as we know.
So, he's still winning, but it does lead credence to my argument that one of them will try harder than the other. And she got off the pill.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He better talk to D Wade how to deal with baby mamas. That's all I can say. Why I don't necessarily like D Wade.
D Wade kept him secret.
He does know how to deal with baby mamas.
Is it weird?
Ooh, I like them heels.
It's weird to me. Like, I feel like maybe I'm just wrong and I don't know myself, but I feel like if I had a lot of money, I would not fuck women that just do like modeling for a job.
Yep.
Like, it's just not my thing. Like, it just seemed like there's so many badass regular women that I see every fucking day of my life. Like, just going to the DMV, I'll be like, God damn, that chick is bad. Why wouldn't you just fuck with somebody like that rather than, you know, a chick like this? I don't know. Maybe it's just me, though. But I don't know. Seemed like this would be more high maintenance. Like, I'm a model. Like, bitch, I don't care about this shit. Fucking, I hit niggas for a living. I don't care. See, like, these women have all these standards and shit.
You wasn't posting all the pictures, so I Googled it myself.
Mm-hmm.
Black Sports Online came up number one. They broke it first.
They broke it. Yep. But, you know, be mad, though, haters.
I ain't mad.
Mm-hmm.
Is Julius also a photographer? Is he the one that's taking these pictures?
Somebody
very,
is.
Very good work, I must say.
Larry Sanders, who plays for the Bucks, also breaking news from Black Sports Online, was suspended for abusing the anti-drug policy. The Bucks big man is out for the season due to injury. He also served a 5-game suspension at the beginning of next year. He says, I apologize to Bucks and our fans for being suspended 5 games for using marijuana.
He didn't think about it. He was like, well, I'm out anyway. Oh, what? I still got to do a drug test?
I wonder if he leaked what it is himself just so they know it's not steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just some weed. Y'all get over it.
Yeah.
It's legal in like 14 states.
Right. He's like, you know, this wouldn't even be a fucking problem if this shit happened in another state. Like, how y'all going to be mad at me?
Hi, everyone. My name is Thurgood.
Yeah, I got what he confessed to the team right here.
Hi. I'm here today because I'm addicted to marijuana.
You in here for some marijuana? Marijuana? Man, this is some bullshit.
Marijuana is not a drug. I used to suck dick for coke.
I seen them.
Well, that's an addiction, man. You ever suck some dick for marijuana?
Huh?
No, I can't say I have.
I didn't think so.
Boo this man!
Boo!
Who is mad?
Yeah, man. So that was looks like the team didn't take it too well.
Apparently not.
Well, it's that time again, guys. Time flies by when we're having fun like this. But we gotta do our thing. La 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 la. Hey, mama. Kobe Bryant.
I'm so proud of you.
He made his first investment as Kobe Bryant, as Kobe Inc. That's right. Kobe Incorporated, guys.
Just one step closer to retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Got smart.
He revealed that he has formed his own company called Kobe Inc. and is building a team around him to start new businesses and evaluate investing in others. I have always had ideas and always had a vision of where I wanted to go, going back to 2000, but they are just ideas, Kobe said. Now, once the Achilles injury took place, I'm sitting at home for months not moving. A couple things set in. One is that there is only so much Modern Family episodes a person can watch. And then two, what do I do now? Bryant said he then put pen to paper and began executing his vision, which included a mission statement. We want to own and help grow brands and ideas that challenge and redefine the sports industry while inspiring. If it doesn't have the limbs of the sports industry, which I understand extremely well, then I probably won't touch it. Bryant said that he was watching previous NBA greats like Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson turn basketball careers into lucrative business relationships. Jordan has famously made money licensing his name to Nike to make Air Jordan sneakers. Magic has made much of his own money by allowing others to use his name as well, but the path Bryant seeks will be more hands-on. I want to be a part of something, and if you want to be a true entrepreneur, you have to put skin in the game, and at this stage of my life, I don't have the interest in taking on any more endorsements. Bryant's first investment, also announced on Sunday, will be Upstart Sports Drink Body Armor, a beverage that has coconut water in it and boasts of delivering more potassium to an athlete's body while offering less sodium than its competitors. From a standpoint of innovation, if you look at this category, the category itself has been a dormant one for years. They have been accustomed to drinking one product because that's the only one available to them. There hasn't been a product that has come to them and said, there's another way to upgrade your sports drink. Bryant would only say that he invested millions of his own money, while the company, which had about $10 million in sales last year, confirmed the basketball star will now be the brand's third largest shareholder behind Michael Rapoli and Lance Collins. Mm-hmm. Rapoli co-founded Vitamin Water and Smart Water, which was sold to Coca-Cola for $4.1 billion in 2007. Collins sold his drinks Fuse and Nas to Coca-Cola for $250 million that same year.
That dude rich as hell.
Hell yeah. That Kobe.
and my thing is this. If Kobe tackles this like he tackled his basketball career, Kobe might make more money being retired than he will actually playing the game right now.
Bonus. Hey, Mamba. Dwayne Wade responds to Kobe Bryant's Trayvon Martin-related critique. They talk about how they have a relationship, and he refers to Lakers great as Kobe. Still, Wade acknowledged that he had a respectful difference of opinion with Bryant about the stand that the Heat players took for slaying teenager Trayvon Martin in 2012. In a piece called The Last Quarter in the latest issue of the New Yorker magazine, author Ben McGrath brought up LeBron James, Wade, and the rest of the Heat players posing in hoodies with their heads bowed and posted the photo online. Kobe, we know what he said. I won't react to something just because I'm supposed to, just because I'm African-American. That argument doesn't make any sense to me. So we want to advance as a society and as a culture, but say if something happens to an African-American, we immediately come to his defense. Yet you want to talk about how far we progress as a society. Well, if we progress as a society, then you don't jump to somebody's defense just because they're African-American. You sit and listen to the facts just like you would any other situation, right? So I won't assert myself. Before Friday's game in Detroit, which Wade missed with a sore hamstring, the Heat guard disputed the implication that Martin's race was the overriding factor in the team's decision to pose for the photo. He said that proximity also played a part. While Martin was killed in Central Florida, he grew up in the Miami area. It was our backyard, and being in our backyard being something that a lot of guys on this team, not only growing up in the kind of environment that Trayvon was in, but also having young boys that I cheat on their mama with.
I thought you had three.
No,
I don't hate to cut y'all, but if you if you adopted your nephew and you claim him as your child, and that's how you raising him, claim him as your son.
Well, he didn't say two young boys. He said having young boys, so that could be three.
He ain't claiming it.
Come on, man, don't. I'm off of Wade Slander, man, but come on, man, that's a little too far. Knowing that he is a big fan of Miami Heat, that is something we got behind as a team. I can't even say the organization. It was a team. As a team, we got behind it, and it was more so than the color of his skin. Wade, James, and Chris Bosh have not been afraid to step up in the athletic arena, express their opinions. James recently spoke of his willingness in reference to the advertisement that he appears in President Obama's request to promote the Affordable Care Act. There's a lot of causes that go on that players get behind. It's not all black causes, Wade said. You know what I mean? Most of the causes have something to do with something that's near and dear to you, like Chris Bosh writing on his shoe earlier this year because his wife is Venezuelan. Bosh wrote SOS Venezuela, which is seen sprayed and stickered on cars all over South Florida, where the large Venezuelan community is concerned about the conditions back home. It's the same kind of thing, Wade said. So it's just a difference of opinion. Following Wade's comments, Brian added some context to the aforementioned comments on Friday, possibly addressing Wade in the process. One more time for the tweeting impaired. This is not about a legal debate or sides. It's about equality on all fronts. Hashtag colorblind, hashtag genderblind. Critical or not, we've had a ton of convo the last few days about a big issue. That's always a good thing. Love to all who tweeted thoughts. So. Kobe still trying to tell y'all.
Kobe see all in here all too.
Mm-hmm. Don't get lit up next week, next year, Wade.
Don't get Rajah Bell.
Mm-hmm. Don't catch 40. Okay.
Because, see, he did more than just score on Rajah Bell. He made him irrelevant.
Right. He erased his career. And that could happen to you, Wade. You very close anyway. You already don't claim one of your sons.
You're trying to have a meeting now where you can beg LeBron to stay. Or go wherever. Can you tag along wherever he does decide to go?
Yep. I don't see any questions in the chat room, so I'm assuming y'all are good to go. So let's go ahead and get out of here.
No letters this month?
This week? No letters this week, man. I checked the emails before we started the show. I was surprised that nobody had a Balls Deep related, email specifically for the show. I'm checking right now. I don't see any that came in during the show.
I got to work harder at offending the listeners.
Apparently so.
That must be the plan. Yeah. So, all right, man. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. Until then, peace.
Free Gucci.
Peace.